you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Once a year, the eyes of the nation turn to this tiny hamlet in western Pennsylvania to watch a master at work. The master? Punxsutawney Phil, the world's most famous weatherman, the groundhog, who, as legend has it, can predict the coming of an early spring. So I guess the question we have to ask ourselves today is, does Phil feel lucky?
Excuse me, what are you talking about?
Well, it's Groundhog Day. Again? And that must mean that we're up here at Gobbler's Knob, waiting for the forecast from the world's most famous groundhog weatherman, Punxsutawney Phil, who's just about to tell us how much more winter we can expect.
Please stop talking. It's just sad now.
This is pitiful. 1,000 people freezing their butts off waiting to worship a rat.
I can't listen to this anymore.
Once again, the eyes of the nation have turned here to this tiny village in western Pennsylvania. Blah, 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 blah. There is no way that this winter is ever going to end as long as this groundhog keeps seeing his shadow. I don't see any other way out.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana is delicious.
Roll another one. Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
I think, frankly, you're out of line with that question.
Roll.
And now.
Now I'm looking for the bong. Now I'm finding the bong. Now I'm loading the bong. Now I'm in the bong.
Our feature presentation.
So don't bogart that joint.
Oh, no.
Pass it around.
No. No.
Kevin.
What's the deal? Yeah, you have GPS units.
Yes.
And you can punch in the exact address where you want to go, and then it'll give you the exact directions to where you're supposed to go.
Yeah.
I have one of those, and I punched in the directions to the address to the radio station I'm going to be broadcasting from here in Miami, Florida. And I don't think I did it right because I'm circling the airport now.
Kevin, God damn it.
So, did you leave, like, I don't know, early, thinking I better allow time, extra time, to get to a place that I've never been before to make sure that the broadcast goes off without a hitch?
I actually did, but obviously not early enough, because I'm confused as to where this stupid woman's directions are leading me.
Do you guys remember when we had one of those in Florida and we ended up on the runway at the airport?
Yes, I sure do. I do remember that.
It's a little confusing, let's be honest.
Yeah, they're not perfect. That's true.
Wow. Well, we've been trying to talk because we anticipated this might happen. Your engineer at the radio station, Jose, we've been trying to talk him into going on and just being you today, giving you the day off and just having the Jose and Bean show.
That's a great idea.
He says he's not allowed to, unfortunately. He's not allowed to go on. But we thought it'd be awesome.
Have
the, Mr. Miami be the guy today. And he sounds way better than we do, too, by the way, Kevin, which is funny.
He's got the voice.
Do you have directions? And I said, yes, absolutely. I've got this direction finder. Everything's great. Now I'm at the rental car return. I don't know where I'm going.
so sad.
Oh, wait, she told me left turn ahead. Hold on, got to get in the left lane.
So what's 80 degrees feel like after a long, cold winter, huh?
It's so unbelievable.
Is it 80?
It's a little bit warm, I have to be honest. Is this, you know, you have a sweater or a jacket or something, you take it off here.
Yeah,
And here's the beautiful thing. The highs are, I don't know, 80, and the lows are, I don't know, 76.
Oh. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Oh, I would love to be there.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a good place to have the Super Bowl. So you probably haven't had a chance to do or see anything. You pretty much just got in last night and that was it, or did you go out?
Well, I got in last night. They do have a fantastic bar at the hotel that I'm at, and that may not be helping me this morning.
I see. Okay.
So I think I'm going to make my pledge to you that I am not going to drink anymore this trip.
Yeah, that's likely. that's fantastic.
Oh, my God.
The plan today, as I understand it, is that at some point Kevin will join us via broadcast, and it'll be the Kevin and Bean Show as usual with Kevin live from Miami bringing us Super Bowl excitement.
Okay.
Exactly. That's plan. And as we know, our plans usually don't work well, but we're going to give it a shot.
Sure. It is 5:35, finally Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, and it is the 2nd of February. Hola. And on the program today, what's up with gay rehab? We're going to talk about that coming up after 6, because we all, you know, our eyebrows were all raised when Grey's Anatomy star Isaiah Washington announced that he was going into rehab because he apparently has this addiction with, you know, homophobic slurs.
Yes.
And what can they possibly be doing? I mean, do they hook up his junk to an electric shock? And every time he says something like that?
Yeah, that's my guess. Aversion therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they do with cigarettes. Every time you take a puff, they shock you.
he sees a gay guy on the screen, and he says, oh, my God, it's gay.
Yeah, I've never heard of such a thing. I mean, unless it's just a bunch of sensitivity training, unless it's just a bunch of sitting down with people and talking about, you know, trying to tell a 40-year-old man, these are words that hurt. I mean, I don't, maybe they treat it the same way you treat your 4-year-old when he says a bad word for the first time.
I got news for you, though. That's not rehab of any kind.
No, it's not. And that doesn't take, 10 days away to do either. That's a conversation. That's all that is.
So you just sit him down and say, that word is very offensive to homosexuals and to fags, and don't say it.
You would think,
Kevin, don't use that word either, really.
But he didn't get that message after the hoopla over the first time he used it.
Yeah, that's true. He's a very slow learner.
Apparently so. Also, we're going to bring back our new game that we just debuted late in the show yesterday. We got tremendous reaction to our new game. I can't say the name of the game on the air, but do we have the jingle, Mike? Is the jingle handy for the new game? Lisa, you hear from people on your participation in that game?
I certainly have, and they posed new questions for me and Psycho Mike, actually.
It's a game we like to call.
So we'll be playing that again for you next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. There are some very difficult, I mean, it's Sophie's choice all over again for poor Lisa with some of the decisions she has to make. In honor of Super Bowl Sunday this weekend in Miami, our old pal Matt Money Smith is going to be joining us live in the studio today. Of course, he is a lifelong diehard Chicago Bears fan, yet strangely, Kevin is in Miami for the game. Matt Money Smith in the studios of the world famous K-Rock this morning. Kevin, how do you explain that?
Well, the word I can't use that Isaiah Washington used, you know.
Okay, that makes sense, yeah. Yeah. Of course, you know, with the Super Bowl, everybody wants to know who's going to win. We've actually got a psychic on the program today, and I don't know how she's possibly going to wade through all that material and make a choice between two teams, but she apparently is willing to do it. She's willing to go out on a limb and make a prediction on our show today.
Wow, I could do the same with a coin.
She's got a 50-50 chance. How is she going to do it?
I don't know. Friday means the movie beat on the program today. I ended up not seeing the show yesterday, but apparently Tyra Banks on a tirade about all the tabloid coverage of her recent weight gain. And apparently yesterday was the day that she came out in a swimsuit and addressed all the weight that she's gained since she stopped modeling for Victoria's Secret. Ralph is going to provide some highlights of that for us later on this morning.
Excellent. Is the Tyra Banks train to Fatville?
Apparently so, yeah. And also an update on our old pal K-Fed we may be checking in with today.
Stay in the left lane.
Are they sending you to Tampa, or what are they doing here? You better double check that address, I think.
I have no idea where I'm going to go in circles right now.
All right. And in the 7 o'clock hour this morning, we'll make the phone call that is going to be very exciting news for one K-Rock listener. Somebody who qualified to win Killers at Staples Center ahead of them going on sale this weekend will receive the Kevin and Bean... We'll receive the Kevin and Bean phone call this morning that sends them to Amsterdam to see the Killers in concert there. It's destination number 5 of K-Rock's World Tour 2007. So all of that, plus maybe Kevin, all coming up. Ralph Showbiz Beat is next on the world-famous K-Rock. It's my good friend Ralph Kramer with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Congratulations to Patrick Dempsey and his wife, Jillian. They gave birth to twin boys on Thursday here in Los Angeles. He, of course, is Dr. McDreamy over there on Grey's Anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
People magazine says the twin boys were named Darby and Sullivan, guaranteeing them a life of drinking and fist fights. They also have a 5-year-old daughter named Tallulah. So, well done, Dempsey clan.
All right.
Darby, Sullivan, and Tallulah. Save money for the kids' therapy. Speaking of kids and therapy, photos yesterday were posted on TMZ.com and PerezHilton.com of Michael Jackson's children out and about.
Oh.
Without their freaking masks on. And everyone is saying, wow, I wonder who gave the sperm.
Really?
For Debbie Rowe to conceive those children because they don't look anything like Michael. Well, in inside information, according to someone at MSNBC, says that there's now a rumor that Macaulay Culkin was actually the donor to conceive the children. That Macaulay donated sperm and Debbie Rowe conceived the children, and they say if you look at these photos of the kids, you can actually see the resemblance of Macaulay Culkin in their faces.
That's fantastic.
I hope that's true.
He's just freaky enough that it could be
Absolutely.
True.
Look, Lisa, I could have told you he got a hippopotamus to donate the sperm. He's like, well, it's possible.
It
it's Michael
happened.
Jackson.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Here's a great story. Kate Moss is on again, off again, boyfriend, Baby Shambles lead singer Pete Doherty, or Doherty, depending on how you pronounce it. According to the London Sun tabloid, Kate has broken up with Pete again because a video has surfaced in England of Pete shooting up cocaine, this time in a hotel in Thailand.
Wow.
Apparently the video comes from a 21-year-old Australian woman who says she and a friend invited Doherty back to their hotel room when they were in Thailand during a vacation over New Year's. And she saw them shoot up several times. Some of it's on video. And the woman also tells the London Sun that Doherty told her he would never marry Kate Moss because, and I quote, if she was the last woman on earth, because she's too paranoid. It's true. She thinks he's doing drugs all the time. I can see why he'd behave that way.
Now, with the trouble that he's had in and out of jail and rehab and court and everything else with the drug use, I know he doesn't always make the best decisions. But why is he letting somebody videotape him doing drugs? Isn't he just inviting trouble?
It's the kind of behavior you do when you're high. I can't imagine he would do that.
What's up with him?
Speaking of high, how does no one call Kevin on the fact that he's hammered driving around in Miami? We're like, oh, wow, you can't find the studio? No, I can just GPS. I'm just in the airport and she keeps saying to stay in the left lane.
He didn't sound hammered to me.
Are you nuts? Either.
He sounds like typical tired Kevin.
He's faced.
I don't think so. I think he's more of the do-do-do-do-do. I think he's more that Kevin today than he is.
I'm never going to drink again on this trip.
he
either had a minute sleep or he had no sleep and he's still loaded.
Kevin is a guy.
I had a lot of granola bars this morning.
Right. We'll ask. But Kevin is a guy, as you know.
You're making a phone call, Mike?
Lighting told me Kevin on blue, and I potted him up, and it was a dial tone.
Yeah. Kevin is the kind of guy, though, if he's on the ground in Miami for 40 hours or whatever it is, he wants to party for 40 hours. He doesn't pace himself. You know that. You know that he treated last night like it was the last night on Earth, even though he's going to be there all the way through Monday night.
I'm around the airport.
I don't know what's going on, Ralph. Come on. Who can explain that?
Speaking of rehab, Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
May get to go to work during rehab, but apparently her sex life is lacking. Us Weekly magazine says that they have information that she's been texting one of her boyfriends, K. consistently over the past few weeks while she's in rehab. Brody Jenner is his name. And one of the racy comments that she texted him Saturday night was apparently that all she wanted was McDonald's and sex. I know McDonald's. You can work that out. It's on Hollywood Boulevard now.
Oh, is that off the menu?
No.
Is it fast?
That's in the parking lot.
Hey, you want to talk to Kevin?
Absolutely.
He's on the phone?
No, I'm not on the phone. I'm here.
Are you there?
Whoa, really?
I thought you were in the airport. You're circling.
We've been trying for about 15 minutes to get Mike to turn on my microphone. He keeps going to the telephone.
Yes, 15 minutes.
Yeah, 15 minutes. Sure. I call him. I go, I'm here. Turn on my microphone. He goes to the phone. There's a dial tone. He goes, I guess he's not there.
That was 40 seconds ago. I had the first notice I've got of you.
Like a 10th time in a row. I am not that drunk, Ralph.
Have you been eating granola bars this morning?
And by the way, I'd like to hear Bean's impression of me again, if you don't mind.
I was defending you, by the way, so easy, yeah. Pal.
I was saying
that's the Bean's usual. Defense. Yeah, I was saying that's the usual, Kevin. You really sounded more like just like basic Kevin rather than drunk Kevin. I was defending you, saying you didn't sound hammered to me at all.
That's a hell of a defense.
you're a little hammered,
aren't you? Now that Ralph says it, though, you do.
Well, I mean, what's the definition of hammered?
Drunk?
You were fine to drive, is what you're saying, right?
Of course.
Of course.
I only drank since I got to the station.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Kevin, what time did you go to bed last night, and how much did you drink before you did?
I don't know.
If you had to guess. I mean, if I were a police officer pulling you over right now asking these questions, what answer would you come up with?
Okay, first of all, I never drive when I'm drunk.
Okay.
Second of all, about 4 a.m. and a lot.
So you do that.
Maybe there's a little bit of something going on tonight.
Yes, it is.
The guy who co-wrote Joan and Jett's smash hit I Love Rock and Roll was busted last week for having kiddie porn.
Singer-songwriter
Alan Merrill admitted to police that he had downloaded from the internet more than 1,000 naked images of underage girls.
That makes so much sense now
because the original lyrics to I Love Rock and Roll was, I love 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
So that's why you knew that there was a problem. And lastly, New York Post, page 6, is trashing a trio of stars who are making movies currently in Hollywood for their on-set behavior. Apparently, Chris Tucker, who's making Rush Hour 3 right now with Jackie Chan, has refused to come out of his trailer this week unless the script is rewritten to his satisfaction. And as you know, on a Rush Hour film, script is everything.
Yeah.
I can see why he would be throwing a hissy fit. He's making $25 million, by the way, to do the sequel.
No kidding. Yeah. Those movies are successful, right?
Yes.
And worldwide. Yeah, they've got a big international audience. But Chris Tucker, Ralph, this is consistent with behavior we've heard about him for the last couple of years. He has checked out, right, into, like, Crazyville?
Yeah, absolutely. He's gone
to
Mars.
Did you say Chris Tucker is making $25 million?
Yes, I did, sir.
No possible way.
I hate to admit it, but
that seems like a lot of money.
No possible way. I'm saying it's Chris Tucker, right?
Yes, he is, sir.
Are you talking about that black guy from the Rush Hour movies?
I am not drunk.
Okay. A spy on the set of Lindsay Lohan's new movie, I Know Who Killed Me, says, and now she's in rehab, she's moody. Well, yeah, she's sober.
Yeah.
She's hungover. Wait till Kevin this afternoon. He's going to be moody, too. She's making everyone around her miserable. And apparently Lindsay is also late and sometimes won't come out of her trailer either. Lindsay's PR people said, we all need to cut her some slack and quit judging her every move. Maybe she needs to start getting out of her trailer and going to work on time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, making better moves, maybe.
And the third person they're bagging on the New York Post this morning is Paris Hilton. Apparently, she's working on a new feature film called The Hottie and the Naughty. That sounds good.
No.
Quality choices.
They say she's been late to the set and, you're going to be shocked, is having trouble learning her lines. I find that hard to believe.
How many lines could she have?
A thespian of her caliber.
Is she the hottie or is she the naughty?
I believe, sir, she is the hottie.
Okay.
I heard that story on Access Hollywood last night, Ralph, that she blamed a faulty GPS direction on her getting late.
I can't learn my lines because I can't get around the airport. I can't.
That's why she wasn't on the set.
I can't, GPS is wrong.
How dare you.
Today's celebrity birthdays, a couple former hotties. Farrah Fawcett is 60 years old today.
Wow, 60. Everybody.
How about that? From Charlie's Angels. One of Charlie's Angels is almost an angel herself.
Yeah.
And a couple years now, she'll be an angel up in heaven.
What?
Christy Brinkley's 53 years old today, although I saw Christy Brinkley the other day on television. They're doing a story on her. She was at some charity skiing event that the Kennedys were throwing. Looks spectacular.
She's amazing, isn't she?
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
Robert DeLeo, bassist for Stone Temple Pilots, is 41 years old today. And Shakira, who I'm not sure if you're familiar or not, but her hips always tell the truth. Never lie. Hips don't lie. Oh, if they lie. We should play that song in K-Rock. That rocks. She's 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So this big Isaiah Washington story has been huge. And it's the most ridiculous story I've ever heard because the stuff that's coming out of his mouth is not at all possible. This is the guy who outed one of his other castmates on, what was the name of the show?
Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy. I don't like his
name. Oh, my God.
Isaiah Washington plays Dr. Preston Burke on that show. Right. He's very popular, and it's a very popular show. And T.R. Knight plays George O'Malley on the show. He's another surgeon on the program, and he's the guy who in real life is gay, although we didn't know that until we heard reports of a big scuffle on the set. They were filming in Seattle, of all places, and there was a little bit of a tussle, and Isaiah Washington in real life called George O'Malley a homophobic slur. And, you know, all hell broke loose and he apologized and people kind of smoothed it over and went back to work. And then it happened again when they were at the Golden Globes. Nope. I don't even know that they were even asking him about it, but Isaiah Washington jumped on the mic as they were accepting a Golden Globe and said, I didn't call him this word. And now he's in all sorts of deep trouble again. So the next thing you know, right after that, he's in rehab, apparently to learn how to not call people bad words.
Yeah, that's the weird thing for celebrities. If they get in trouble, the only thing they have to do is go to rehab. That's like their penance. So whatever you do, you get in drunk driving, you hurt somebody, you say something, you get in a fight, you go to rehab and society says, okay, go and sin no more and everything's fine. But I don't know what kind of rehab he goes to not use that word.
Yeah, it's not like it was drugs or alcohol.
Right. Yeah, he's not blaming it on his life was out of control because he was on drugs. You're absolutely right. I mean, he says he was fine and lucid. He just doesn't understand why he used the word, so he needed rehab. Well, I got great news for you, Kevin, because the Judy Garland Memorial Rehabilitation Center in Altadena apparently is where Isaiah Washington went. And we have from that facility, Dr. Clark Weston on the line with us right now. Doctor, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning to you, fellas. How are you?
Now, we got the name right. It's the Judy Garland Memorial Rehabilitation Center?
Absolutely. The late Judy Garland, in her divine wisdom before she passed in the late 60s, set aside part of her estate to be dedicated to a medical facility that would help people accept gays and homosexuals.
It's an actual place where you can check in and then you have all kinds of therapy throughout the week. It's the same kind of thing?
It's intense psychiatric therapy to help increase the tolerance of homosexuals.
Okay.
And that's why we're here, and that's what the kind of work that we do.
So most people would just, somebody would pull them aside and go, hey, you know, not a cool word, don't use that anymore, boom, you'd be fine. But if you really got deep-seated problems, that's where you need the kind of intensive therapy that you offer at the Judy Garland Memorial Rehabilitation Center.
That's right. For most people, that would be sufficient, just a word to the wise.
Right.
But some people have such a deep-seated fear and or hatred of homosexuals that they need severe therapy, and that's what we specialize here, all-inclusive immersion into the gay experience to try to increase their levels of tolerance.
Now, I know that you can't tell us who's there specifically, or if Isaiah Washington attended your place.
Oh,
but
sure,
he was here.
He was here.
Okay.
Oh, that black bastard was here.
Oh, wow. So,
all right.
little different rules.
Was he
Maybe
ever?
You can.
Okay. Can you tell us what kind of treatment you would give somebody in a situation like Isaiah Washington?
Well, I cannot tell you the exact treatment for each particular patient, because everyone is different. But we do have a general set of protocols we use in order to try to reinforce positive behavior when it comes to interacting with the homosexual community. Initially, when you come to the facility, we strip you of all your outside clothing, all your otherworldly clothing. So whatever you would wear in your normal life, we remove that from you to remove that sense of identity from yourself.
And then what do you give them to wear? Some kind of an outfit?
We give them green pleather scrubs. Because green pleather, of course, being the national fabric of the gay.
Certainly. Everyone knows that.
Then we quickly dye their hair blonde.
Okay, I got it.
Because that gives them a sense of connection with the gay community. Then we immerse them every day in gay culture. We play gay music all day long, mostly Barbra Streisand, Bette Midler, right. Liza Minnelli, Hinder.
I'm sorry. Did you say Hinder?
Yes. Oh. How gay is Hinder?
Well, that's not for us to judge, but if that works for you.
Oh!
Mr. Weston, Dr. Weston, you okay? You all right,
Hinder. Then we give them a healthy diet, because nutrition is part of the process. We want to keep them healthy in mind and body. So in the morning, they'll have a big bowl of Fruit Loops. I said in the morning, they'll have a big roll of Fruit Loops.
Right.
Fruit Loops, yes, right? Got that.
And then usually for lunch, a big kielbasa. Hold the bun.
A lot of symbolism there, yeah.
Then they check into their rooms, which is largely decorated in Hello Kitty.
Right, sure.
Because the gays love that.
Sure.
I've heard that.
Do the gays love that. And then they'll watch some television. You know, oddly enough, Grey's Anatomy was one of our programs. We used to show it.
Is that
her.
Right?
Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? Men in Trees, of course. Sons and Daughters.
Yeah. Brothers and Sisters.
Whatever. And Gilmore Girls. Yeah. You know, the gay show.
So sure. You try to get them comfortable with what it's like to be gay in America.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's exactly what we do. And, of course, there's medicinal treatments as well. Every day they get a daily yogurt enema.
Oh no.
Come on, think about it.
Who gives them that?
That depends. We draw straws. Long straw wins. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I believe we do, Doctor.
We do. Yes.
The yogurt enema.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that helps?
Think about it.
We'd rather not.
Sometimes I just smear it all over their face. A yogurt facial. What's wrong with you people? Why are you persecuting us?
No.
Why do you use that language? What's wrong with you?
We didn't say anything.
Why do you hurt me?
You're the one doing the yogurt enema.
You guys want to stop by the facility?
Time for the Afro Line, 323-520-AFRO. Answer machine we've set up for your convenience. You can call us about any topic 24 hours a day.
Our assistant producer, who we affectionately know as Super Whore, has begun doing some commercials and is getting rave reviews.
Producer Alex, you're such a whore. Now you're a dirty advertising whore because I hear you on all the commercials now. So, what does this tell us? You're such a filthy whore.
Whore!
She considers that a compliment, by the way. You cannot insult her with the whore word. It is a badge of honor for her.
Tyra Banks is fat.
No.
Mike?
Tyra Banks is fat. Fat, fat, fat. Everyone, they're f***ing right now. Tyra Banks is fat. Fat, fat, fat. Awooga. Awooga.
Awooga.
We'll have highlights, if you want to call that, of the big I'm Not Really Fat show that she did on her daytime talk show yesterday. That's coming up this morning on the Kevin DeBeat Show.
I'm not positive what this next one is even about.
I'm gonna go out. I'm gonna let myself get absolutely soaking mad. It's raining mad.
Oh, that's for Psycho Mike. I'm sorry. I apologize.
I thought that was somebody who just checked out of the Judy Garland Rehab Center in Altadena on their way home out of treatment.
Do you guys remember our intern, Nicole?
Of course.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Kevin and Bean, I just had sex with your old intern, Nicole. She's gonna say hi.
Nicole is still on a tear.
She's
yes.
She was awesome. She had been with a longtime boyfriend for years, and when she broke up, she decided to enjoy the benefits of being single, and apparently she's still enjoying it.
Yep.
We had Stacey Keebler in our studio a couple of days ago, and that was good.
Mm-hmm.
Stacey Keebler interview ended, 34 seconds ago? Where's the picture? Get the picture out for God's sake! Hurry!
We know exactly how you feel. And the picture is up at GayRock.com if you want to see the beautiful Miss Keebler. Also, Trisha Helfer from Battlestar Galactica was in yesterday. That picture also up in the Kevin and Bean section of GayRock.com.
That was a 1-2 punch of hot, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing. Every once in a while, we have our sports guy Money on, former sports guy Money. We also have Petros Papadakis.
Oh, hey, guys. This is our man, Petros Papadakis, has developed his name as the unofficial sports guy on your quality radio show. I think he deserves a theme song. And his theme song should go a little something like a diss. Papadakis, 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 Papadakis. Oh, that Petros Papadakis. Petros, Petros, Petros. What do you think?
I like it. I love it.
We've been talking a lot the last couple days about Paris Exposed. This is the storage unit that has a bunch of stuff of hers, including tapes of her having sex and pictures and notes about her talking about drugs and stuff like that. And something came out yesterday that you may not be aware of.
Hey, guys, I'm calling because I was wondering if you heard this also. I heard that allegedly they found Tammy Heidi in Paris Hilton's storage unit also. Oh. Is that true? Oh.
I hadn't heard that. So sad.
323-520-AFRO is the phone number 24 hours a day. I'm sure everybody does the exact same thing as we do around work, which is just you ask hypothetical questions, especially when it involves sex. Would you rather have sex with A or B? And you have to choose. There's no way you can say neither. There's no way you can say, you know, pick somebody else. You have to pick one or the other. And we've decided to bring it onto the air with Lisa May. And it's a new game we like to call.
Who would Lisa rather? Who would Lisa rather? Oh, tell me, who would Lisa rather? Who would Lisa rather?
Very nice. Now, Psycho Mike, you have the comparisons for her. You're going to be bringing the A's and the B's for her to choose between. And then, of course, Lisa, what you don't know, and this is new from last time we played the game, is that one of your answers will be binding today. We actually are going to hold you to it.
So someone on this list is waiting in the hallway.
Right. We're not going to tell you ahead of time, but think very, very carefully about the answers.
And that really changes it
either
all.
Either waiting in
it?
The hallway or waiting in Studio O, either way.
Yeah, exactly. And as Kevin described to you, unfortunately, as much as there are some combinations where you just feel like you'd rather swallow cyanide, that's not an option. You cannot take your own life. You actually have to follow through with one of them.
Okay.
All right. Let's start off with an easy one.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Affleck or Matt Damon?
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. Brad Pitt, George Clooney.
Oh, that's hard.
Yes, it is.
Can she pick both?
No.
I like
gun
that.
Gun your head has to be one or the other.
I'm going to have to go with George Clooney.
Oh, fine choice.
Yeah.
Ryan Phillippe, Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling.
Okay.
Fabulous actor.
Johnny Knoxville.
Fabulous.
Bam Margera. Either way, it's going to get sloppy.
Oh.
Yeah, you're messed up either way.
Yeah, Johnny
and it's
Knoxville.
It's going to be videoed.
Knoxville.
Yeah,
okay.
Knoxville.
Michael Douglas, Martin.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
What?
Knoxville?
What's wrong with Knoxville?
Well, I mean, you compare him to Bam Margera. I'm no Mo, but come on.
Well, if you really look at it, he reserves most of the pain that he dishes out to. It's to himself. Whereas
right,
Bam might do something bad to Lisa.
Right.
Knoxville
right.
will probably have a bull run into him while he's banging Lisa.
Yeah. he's got the bigger career.
True.
That was for your own safety, though, part of your answer there, Lisa?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The chicks do think both of those guys are real attractive, right? I mean, Knoxville certainly has his fans for his looks, and so does Bam, right?
Absolutely.
Of course. Michael Douglas, Martin Sheen.
Real old guys now.
They are old. Okay, Martin Sheen, Michael
Douglas.
Michael Douglas.
Really?
He's a better-looking guy.
Crinkly old 75-year-old Michael Douglas with the liver spots, him over the president of the United States of America?
Wasn't he a sex fiend for a while?
Oh, yeah. I
guess remember
yes, he was.
Well, so he can get the job done.
Sheen's got the genetics, though, when it comes to banging. You know,
Dean, I hate to be picky, but Martin Sheen was never the president of the United States. That was a TV show.
I very distinctly remember that. I think I even voted for him twice.
All right.
To delve into rap rock, go back about 6 years. Kid Rock or Fred Durst?
Oh, wow. How can you do this?
I'm just saying.
Well, I know there's only one choice.
I haven't seen Kid Rock's junk. We've all seen Fred Durst.
Yes, we also saw his belly flap over
his
junk.
Yes, we did. So I have to go with Kid Rock.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, I don't know if this caveat is essential, but with that last selection, with a condom? I mean, we're talking about with protection because with those two, you got
to
be...
Yeah, I'm going to say everybody gets to wear a glove. Gets to wear a glove.
If this is a safe game.
Yeah.
Some people you have to wear two.
All right. Let's go into the NRA.
Okay.
Tom Selleck or Ted Nugent?
Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck, okay.
Charming.
How about a little country music? Keith Urban, Tim McGraw.
Oh, interesting.
Both handsome men. Both talented
very
men.
Popular, both very popular sex symbols right now.
Keith Urban.
Keith Urban, okay.
Yeah.
How about friends of the show, Bob Saget or David Alan Greer?
Bob Saget. Alan Greer, you know. Okay. He
probably
gets into really bad places.
But he's hung.
Yeah, I know, but he hangs out with whores.
Okay.
We all know that.
Well, I'm sure Bob Saget only hangs out with moral people.
Well, that's a good point.
A.C. Slater or Zach Morris?
Oh, no.
What?
Lisa?
I can't.
Have to pick.
A.C. Slater.
Of course.
A.C. Slater was, he was Mario Lopez.
Mario
right?
Lopez or Mark Paul Gosselaar, right?
Mark okay. Paul Gosselaar.
At least they're not making you screech, Lisa.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so stick with TV themes. Jack or Sawyer?
Sawyer,
okay.
Sawyer?
Yeah.
Well, Sawyer.
He's dirty.
Macaulay Culkin, Frankie Muniz Jr.
Oh.
That's a terrible choice. Frankie.
All right.
Yeah.
Brandon Davis, Kevin Federline.
Oh, ouch.
Oh, God.
That's just
seriously,
bad and
you
bad.
Guys, have you seen these photos of Brandon Davis lately?
Of Brandon Davis?
Brandon Davis, he's so disgusting.
He does.
He's always sweaty, been disgusting. Fat.
I gotta do Kevin.
Oh.
I have
first
to.
Of all, first you? Of all, I first of all, I'm gonna need that clip.
Yes, you are.
All right, so you pick Kevin Federline.
I had to.
All right, Kobe or Shaq?
Oh, Kobe.
Kobe.
Yeah.
Okay. Peyton Manning or Rex Grossman? Very apropos for this weekend.
Sure.
Rex.
I don't think Rex is of age yet.
I know what they look like.
I mean, I don't think he's just assumed.
I don't think he's 18.
But Rex is kind of a cool name.
Okay. I think, Lisa, I think what? From what I understand from Alex, you'll be very happy with Rex.
Yeah,
I think you'll be pleased with
I
that
I think
choice,
it's a better choice.
Okay.
Ike Turner or Mike Tyson?
Oh, my
Now, that
God.
Is interesting.
Because you know you're going to get beat up afterwards.
You're getting
yeah,
hurt.
Totally.
You're getting hurt either way.
They're both abusers at best.
But I
was going to say, look at it this way. Ike Turner's a lot older and a lot weaker. So if you're going to take a beating, it might as well be from him.
And I am a green belt.
Good point.
So,
that's true.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Were you laughing, Kevin?
No.
Okay. So Ike Turner.
Ike Turner.
Yeah. Wow. That's interesting.
All right, let's go. Let's delve into radio.
Mm-hmm.
Tito from Power 106 or Tom Likas.
Oh, my God.
Who would Lisa rather? Who would Lisa rather? Oh, tell me.
What would Tito sound like if I were having sex with him?
Heina, would you like to bend or touch your toes? Put that ass in the air, face down, prepare for the action, the bonk bonk.
Tito!
Mira, man, wanna fight, man?
I gotta do Tito, right?
Unfortunately, Likas wasn't available for comment. Movie director and actor extraordinaire Kevin Smith.
Uh-huh.
Or Jack Black.
Oh, because I like Kevin Smith better. But...
Kevin Smith. But. It's Kevin Smith.
You so you're offering please. The butt?
With either of the choices.
You're saying butt is okay?
Maybe pick if one. I were facing away. You'd kind of have to, wouldn't you?
Pick one.
Well, that's reserved for doggy style for those gentlemen, by the way.
Jack Black.
Jack Black.
Really?
Right.
Well, even though you like Kevin Smith
I
better.
I love huh? Kevin Smith, but there's less of... Jack Black.
All right, Mike, we got about time for about two more.
Listen, I have one more, and I know right. Lisa is repulsed by both these men, so I'm really curious.
Excellent.
Gene Simmons or Donald Trump?
Oh, my God. Gene Simmons.
Gene
yeah,
Simmons.
Really?
Absolutely.
I would make every dream
really?
I've ever had come true, Lisa May. Good choice.
He'll be
you.
Very happy to hear that. I'm and sorry. Thank you for playing our new game.
Who would Lisa rather... Who would Lisa rather? Oh, tell me, who would Lisa rather? Who would Lisa rather?
El Barrio de los Grandes!
Hasta cuando!
Kevin, our morning show is taking off, man. Wow.
Well, I'm working a shift here. You know how they trade it out. They trade it out. They let me use the studio as long as I work on their air for a while. So
That's okay. Kevin, apparently, on the radio in Miami, Florida this morning, site of Super Bowl 41 this weekend. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 649. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, and Ralph, a special guest to introduce us to your young lady friend.
This is a new segment we're doing on the Kevin and Bean Show called The Burning Question. Today's burning question, Colts or Bears?
Well, Indianapolis, technically the former capital of the KKK, so you surely can't cheer for them, can you?
Matt Money Smith, our former sports guy, joins us in the studio today.
Mucho gusto.
We'll be talking about the Super Bowl just after the top of the hour, but since he came in a little early, we thought we'd invite him to sit down and enjoy us in... And what's going on? And join us in a little showbiz beat.
And I'm drunk?
Well, we were just stunned because Matt doesn't know how to work a microphone anymore.
Yeah.
Apparently, they have different kinds of microphones over on AM.
I lost all the bass in my voice when I went to that band.
Let's take a look at the showbiz news, shall we? Katie Holmes talking about how she fell in love with Tom Cruise the first time she ever touched his hand.
Oh, how romantic.
I was in love the moment I shook his hand for the first time, she tells Us Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Their first date was a motorcycle ride. Apparently, Tom likes to feel the vibrations on his balls, she said. No, wait a minute. I'm reading that wrong. Hold on a second. They took a ride to the beach. Oh, sorry. I can see okay. Where I made that mistake.
Didn't we hear that she had kind of a crush on him even before she ever met him? She was one of those teenagers who had Tom Cruise posters on her bedroom wall, right?
Yeah. Yeah. She says, now, I have a husband and children that I adore. I have a career that I really love. Tom makes me feel like the most beautiful woman in the world. I love him. I love calling him my husband.
You sound just like her.
I know. Spooky, isn't it?
Scientology is good. No one is telling me to say this.
They let me roam free. I am not locked in my room at night.
Please help. Please help.
She added. J.K. Rowling apparently has finished the final book in the Harry Potter series.
Yeah.
She did it at the 5-star Balmoral Hotel in Scotland. That's where she finished it. And when she was done in the room that she was staying, she wrote on the back of an expensive marble bust, J.K. Rowling finished writing Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows in this room, 652, on January 11th, 2007.
Really?
Graffiti. Graffiti. Yeah. That's how she celebrates the end of her book, Graffiti. Hack. Whore.
She'll never sell any books.
No, she won't. She'll die penniless. Pamela Anderson and Kid Rock are both officially divorced now. After being married for just 4 months, the papers are finalized, and now they're free to go around and be white trash with other people.
They didn't have to get like 4 divorces or something.
They did have a couple marriages there. Did a couple weddings. No, just the one divorce.
Huh. Does she get to keep the hepatitis, or does Kid get to take that with him?
I think she gets full custody of the hepatitis.
Okay.
Yeah, and several of her bikinis. Pamela Anderson's 39, Kid Rock's 36, and they both waived any claims for spousal support, so no money will change hands. They're just walking away.
Finally.
Which I think is fair enough for both of them. New romance from Matthew Perry, star of Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip, and of Friends, of course. It's an odd mix, if you ask me. Because you got Matthew Perry, he's 37 years old today. His new girlfriend?
Yeah.
Meg Ryan.
What?
No, really?
45-year-old Meg Ryan.
What?
Wow.
The pair were seen dining out at a Brentwood restaurant in Los Angeles over the holidays, and they sat in a dark corner booth, and Meg asked that the spotlight on their table be turned down, and then they started snogging, as they say in England.
Huh. Yeah.
That's not good, right? If you're Matthew Perry, aren't you just banging supermodels?
Who's got the bigger gullet?
I think let's go to Meg.
You know, I used to be very hot for Meg Ryan, and she looked really good until about 3 years ago. And then all of her plastic surgeries just started crashing at once, and she's aged 10 years and 3. I don't know if you guys have seen her lately. But she does not look good.
She got those big suction cup lips now, too. The puffed up collagen lips.
Shame.
DSL.
Yeah, brother.
You know?
Check it. How dare you.
And British star Sienna Miller said she's still looking forward to getting married and having a family despite the devastating relationship she suffered from Jude Law. She says that it crushed her when he cheated on her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
she took him back.
She did several times. But she can't wait to have kids. And this is a great quote because it's totally frightening. I can't wait. In a world where you're encouraged to have your universe revolve around yourself, suddenly it doesn't. I know that I want that because I have way too much love to give. If I have a child, it can all go there. I think, finally, life will totally make sense. You know, when you have kids, your life makes sense. Isn't that true, man?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what happened to you?
That's almost a direct quote of what I said prior to having children.
Then the sleepless nights and the endless worry and the gray hair.
It's like one big party having a child.
And your whole world makes sense then. It's not more confusing and more complicated. It's actually easier. Right?
Sure.
Well, this is for Kevin. Yeah. When's the last time you saw your kids, Kevin?
How dare you?
You bought them a house in the neighborhood, though, right? Where they stay? You visit?
They're here with me in Miami. They're at strip club right now.
Daddy, where are you?
Oh. Go get Daddy another drink. Here's the fake idea. Buy me his drink.
And lastly, Madonna's buying some property in Tokyo.
Hey.
Doesn't she? She's going to live everywhere. She's living in England already. She has a house in the United States. Apparently now she's looking into Tokyo, Japan, because she's very popular there. And she's got a new job selling a retail line of clothing there called H&M. And she's designing clothing for this company. So she's going to find a joint to live in Tokyo as well.
Is that like safe harbor for the kids she kidnapped?
That's right.
No extradition laws.
Exactly.
The dad can't find her there. He's asking, where is Tokyo? Today's celebrity birthdays, Christie Brinkley. 53 years old and still looks terrific.
She does.
Even though her husband was banging a 17-year-old behind her back. Robert DeLeo, bassist for Stone Temple Pilots, turns 41 years old today. Shakira, who once again, I can't tell you enough, her hips never lie.
That's what I've heard.
And super truthful.
Farrah Fawcett Majors. Farrah Fawcett Majors. She hasn't been Majors in 20 years. Yeah. Farrah Fawcett from Charlie's Angels, 60 years old today.
You know, my buddy did the Playboy, the airbrushing
The Playboy.
When she appeared with her giant eraser nipples?
Say?
Yes. He said it took him about 8 to 9 hours. I'm not kidding.
Really?
It was ridiculous how much airbrushing
she did
it
when she was 50-something, right? Well, when she appeared in Playboy?
And why didn't he do a little bit more work on those 50-millimeter booby nipples?
Well, that's what they come
That's her selling point, man.
That people like that?
Giant clothes hanger nipples,
Son who doesn't like getting poked in the eye from time to time?
They look like machine gun bullet.
Boops.
Coming up next, Matt Money Smith breaks down the Super Bowl. I wonder who he's going to choose. I wonder who he will side with.
He seems impartial.
Going with the Raiders.
In the halftime show. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So scrambled eggs, you can get scrambled eggs?
Scrambled eggs with ham.
Ham, okay, good.
What else you have? Cuban coffee.
Okay, I'll take that. That's good.
And Cuban toast, which is a big piece of bread.
Fantastic.
And they put it on the oven.
What?
Mantequilla.
Hey, sports guy money?
Yeah.
Sports guy money, you're here in Miami. What do you want? They're serving breakfast here at the radio station.
I'm not in Miami. I'm
the Spanish broadcasting system. You've been a lifelong Bears fan.
Bears are Miami. I'm here.
Right, so listen to what they do on Fridays.
Well, on one of our stations over here on Fridays basically becomes the Food Network.
Okay.
And they bring over a big wok, and they cook inside the studio.
They cook in the studio.
There's a radio station?
You can see the rugs.
Yeah. Yes.
The rugs do reflect that.
Yes, they do, yeah.
Okay, and
it's like a giant party.
It's a big party.
Hot chicks.
As a matter of fact, I just announced one is going to be coming soon.
So, Money, you're so happy to be here this
week. Wait a minute.
I mean, first of all, your Bears are in the Super Bowl.
They
first
cook food on the radio?
They cook it in the studios.
And it's like the Food Network on the radio. I just want to get this straight.
They'll make you anything that you want. How awesome is that? How happy are you that you're in Miami right now, Money?
If I were,
that's going to be so great. And then on Sunday, when your Bears take the field, you are going to be going crazy in the stands.
Is this the part where we cue up the Ditka call and he hangs up on me?
Well, we're going to get to that in a minute. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, by the way, 106.7 KROQ. Yeah, we're going to give away that trip to see the Killers in Amsterdam coming up this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's destination number 5 of K-Rock's World Tour 2006. Money, we talked to you about this last week, but refresh my memory, you're a lifelong Chicago Bears fan. You've been waiting for 21 years for this weekend to finally happen. Your team is back in the big game. You're sitting in K-Rock. What's
up? Yeah, well, I mean, I was 12 years old when, of course, the greatest football team in the history of the league won the Super Bowl back in New Orleans, Super Bowl 20, the Chicago Bears, 46-10, by the way.
We were thinking dominating. More of the 2006-7 series.
Yeah,
that's what we were thinking.
And, you know, the Bears, I had anticipated, as they, you know, ran roughshod over the NFC, would make it to the Super Bowl down there in Miami, South Beach, fantastic place, versus the last few Super Bowls I had attended in Houston and Atlanta, where it was freezing rain. Yes, and and here I am, an employee of the Los Angeles Lakers doing Laker games because they've decided to schedule 4 around Sunday, so I cannot manage to get into Miami in time and get back.
How many home games are during that thing?
See, this is the good thing, though. This is what's great. So I was told
how many games at home. How many games at Staples Center?
Well, they're all on the road.
So
you're not going to be at the games, any of them.
No, I got to sit in the studio, watch the game on the TV, talk to the
kids. And you can't do that in Miami.
Well, I don't think so because I don't know where I'd see the game. You know, I got to kind of watch the game, tell the kids what happened, that sort of
you
deal.
You are so this
is,
just
This is me. The best part, though. This is the best part, right? So the team that I grew up cheering for, the Chicago Bears, are in the Super Bowl. Boss says, yeah, you're probably going to have to do those Laker games. The man who calls play-by-play, who is the voice of the Lakers, Spiro Dedis, is not going to be at the game on Saturday against the Washington Wizards because he's calling the Super Bowl in Greek. For Greece.
No kidding.
You got a free pass to call the Super Bowl in Greek, and I've got to work. Oh, how does that happen?
Spiro is in Miami?
Spiro is in Miami calling the Super Bowl in Greek.
He's the play-by-play guy for the Lakers.
So I said, you know, boss.
You do the post-game and the pre-game.
Yeah. So Spiro, let me get this straight. Spiro gets to go and calls the Super Bowl for the Greeks, and I have to stay. Yeah, you have to stay. That's my life. I mean, like, you
and
guys.
The reason is what?
The people love me. And they cannot accept a Laker victory or defeat without my voice on the air prior to or post-game.
But Spiro, they can give or take. They're fine with letting
Yeah, I guess
go.
So. Voice of the Lakers can go call a game in Greek.
Who's going to do the play-by-play in his place?
Some dude from the district that they pulled off the street. I don't know.
They should have given that to you.
Well,
yeah,
they offered that. They said, you know, would you like us to fly you to Washington? I said, you're going to fly me to Washington to do play-by-play, but I can't go to Miami for a day. It's really just it's a contentious issue that has got me down, guys, to say the least. But at least
Kevin's
there.
Because you should be here, and you're a pussy for not.
Well, I mean, look, Kevin, you and I did, what, 6 or 7? I can't remember what the number is. It's up there, though.
Yeah. And we had a bad time?
Well,
we
came to realize that the Super Bowl is essentially a bunch of married guys that suggest it's going to be male bonding, and they just go and sleep with whores and get drunk and stay up all night. And because I want to remain faithful to my wife and keep my marriage strong, I decided to pass.
Nice. All right, Doug Christie. We don't need to hear any more of that.
How's it going down there?
How's it going?
How's it going down there? Yeah,
How do you think it's going?
You got to share a few things with me.
It's Miami. It's South Beach, for God's sakes. There's clubs open all night long. There's strip clubs open all night long. There's concerts all weekend long.
You know
what it's like in Miami during Super Bowl.
Last time Kevin and I went to a Super Bowl in Florida, we went to South Beach for 3 days, and we ended up having dinner on a bed together. Some restaurant that they set us in a bed, and there's like all these couples having these romantic dinners, and you come to our bed, you open the curtains, it's me and Kevin.
It's a place called Bed, and they just have these real sheer like curtains between the two beds, and people like crawl from place to place and go, hey, what are you eating? It's really bizarre.
Money, it's funny you should bring that up because the K-Rock microphones were there.
Who wants some man meat?
I do. I want some man meat.
Dear Kevin and Bean, this email begins. Money, I want to get your thoughts on this. I am originally from Illinois. I'm a devout Chicago Bears fan. I'm beginning to get really annoyed at the fact that every article I read about the Super Bowl this year and everyone I hear talking about the game says that the Bears do not have a chance of winning. I suppose I'm just not used to that since I graduated from USC. I'm used to being a fan of the favorite football team in every game. I'd like to see you, Kevin and Bean, be the first to pick the Bears to win. And in honor of the game this Sunday and in honor of the greatest Super Bowl team ever, the 85 Bears, conveniently the year I was born, could you please play the Super Bowl Shuffle Friday morning between 7 and 8 o'clock?
Well, I think that, can we do that, Omar? I don't know if we have the Super Bowl Shuffle. I can
you
sing it for him.
Both be rooting for the Bears if for no other reason.
I stop them cold. Part of the
Money
defense, big and bold.
Money, explain to people who haven't heard the Super Bowl Shuffle exactly what that was.
Well, that was the year the Bears were on a tear. They looked like they were going to go 16-0 before they lost to the Miami Dolphins, of course, the only team that's gone undefeated throughout the course of an NFL season. So they finished the regular season 15-1. They, I believe it was the Giants and the Rams that year in the playoffs that did not score 1 point against them on their way to the Super Bowl. They shut out both teams and then got to the Super Bowl, crushing the New England Patriots 46-10. Walter Payton, of course, one of the greatest football players of all time, managed to not score a touchdown because they wanted the fridge, a defensive tackle out of Clemson, to be the novelty act at the Super Bowl.
And he scored. The team, because it was such an amazing season, goes into a studio and records a rap song.
Yes,
which is awesome.
Well, you know, they it really had never happened before. This was, you know, I think a lot of people just figure it's commonplace now that a team makes the finals and all of a sudden a terrible hip-hop song comes out. But this was something they had recorded like mid-season, and it was a charity thing to feed like homeless kids in Chicago or something like that. But every single player from the team showed up. And when you go through that team, you know, you had the punky QB, Jim McMahon. You had Sweetness, Walter Payton, as the aforementioned Samurai Mike, who stops him cold, part of the defense, big and bold. He'd been jamming for quite a while, hitting them kids, doing it with style.
the lyrics, honestly.
And by the way, it wasn't just a Chicago phenomenon. Every radio station in America was playing the Super Bowl Shuffle. It ended up selling over a million copies.
A million copies.
A legitimate hit at that time.
Yeah, peaked at 46 on the Billboard Hot 100. I don't know, but I do.
You're coming down to Miami today, then.
I wish I were, Kevin. I wish I were. Nope. Got to...
Sunday morning.
Yeah, no. I'll be...
I'm going to be hanging out with Spiro, but not you.
Yes, you're going to hang out with the man who's broadcasting the game in Greek and not me.
Since sports guy, former sports guy Money is here in the studio, and since we're reminiscing about the last time the Bears went to and won the Super Bowl in 85, I think it's time to bring up Coach Ditka, because as you know, he was the man behind that fantastic season.
Can I say something, Omar, before you fire this off? Now, I want you to listen closely to how this begins, because I believe the guys cut off the part where they said goodbye to Coach Ditka.
Oh, sure.
That's and bad. After you guys said goodbye, that's when you then decided to bring me in to... To express my emotions to the greatest coach of all time.
He's one of those guys who doesn't have emotions on much. He's a big drinker, and he doesn't tear up much. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's one of those guys that's not super emotional. But when we had Coach Ditka on the phone, he was practically weeping.
That was a nervous wreck.
He was, because this is your childhood idol, right? I mean, this is the guy you named your dog after.
Yes, still alive after 11 years, Ditka's going strong.
So we thought we'll do the interview with Coach Ditka, but at the end of it, we'll reserve some space for our man Money to pour his heart out in thanks to Coach Ditka.
Money, you want to say goodbye to him?
Thank you so much for everything, Coach. I really appreciate it. You've given me a wonderful life.
He's gone.
Well, darn.
He hung up on you.
He hung up.
That's so funny.
He didn't hang up on me. He hung up on you guys. You ruined my moment.
Hey, he got his plug in.
I really wanted you to have that moment with him.
You did, didn't you? You really wanted me to have that moment, didn't you?
That was one of the best things that ever happened on this show, by the way.
You know, it's kind of like one of those movies that you pick up different nuances as time goes by, and I never noticed how evil Lisa's cackle was in the background.
I really was getting a kick out of it.
Coach Ditka hung up on me.
I know.
Well, there's really nothing better than that.
Bears Super Bowl victory in Super Bowl 41 would be a little bit better, wouldn't it?
I hope we have the opportunity to have Lovey on in a couple of weeks and have you back, buddy, to talk to him.
Yeah, the pride of Big Sandy, Texas, Lovey Smith.
Exactly. All right, 7:12 on the Kevin DeBean Show. Kevin is live from Miami, of course, the Super Bowl this weekend. Former K-Rock sports guy Matt Money Smith is here, too. We'll take a break and come back with more on the world-famous K-Rock.
Check it. Yeah.
This is Kevin. I'm broadcasting live from Miami. Our former sports guy, Money, a Bears fan, is also here in Miami with me.
No, I'm actually here in the studio, in the K-Rock studios in
Los Angeles.
Yes, in Compton, California.
Wait a minute. Your Bears are in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and you figured I would be down there as the rest of my family, by the way, is giving me updates on how things are in South Beach, but not me. No, the good thing is at least I don't have any connections in the world of sports now and would find it impossible to get credentials or tickets to the game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey,
wait a minute.
Sports guy, buddy.
Yeah.
Did you have the beautiful Sarah Spain on your radio program? Did you have her on, the Chicago Bears fan who was auctioning off the opportunity to take her to the game?
We had the sack master, Richard Dent, and he was drunk when he talked to P&I yesterday.
What's that
count at all?
The 137 career sacks, still not in the Hall of Fame, part of that vaunted 85 Bears defense.
Oh,
and I swear
he
was not only just like drinking slightly, he was bombed when he talked to us yesterday. Well, you know, coming off the end back then was a lot harder than it is now.
Yesterday, I drove past the Sackmaster, but I think it was a gay club. I think it's a whole different thing.
Well, we got to figure out a way to get this Sarah Spain, this Bears fan, we got to figure out a way to get her on this show doing sports. I got to tell you, she's the real deal. Speaking of the Super Bowl, I got a couple of Super Bowl legends to run by you, Money, and I want to see which ones are true and which ones are false. Tell me what you know, because I know you are a big fan. You've probably watched every Super Bowl since you were born. So here we go. True or false? Sewage systems of major cities have broken due to the tremendous number of toilets being flushed simultaneously at halftime.
That is true.
It is false.
That's false.
Damn. Actually, you know, I wanted that to be true so badly.
Yeah. I know you love the toilets. Apparently, the breaking of the 16-inch water main in Salt Lake City on Super Bowl Sunday 84 is cited as affirmative proof of the massive toilet use, but there is no connection between what happened, what went wrong that day to the Super Bowl. But apparently, that's where that one got started. More women are the victims of domestic violence on Super Bowl Sunday than on any other day of the year. True or false?
I'm going to go with that is true because you can be acquitted for any actions you commit that day if, in fact, your team isn't playing as well as they should be.
I've heard that my whole life.
Me too.
Also false.
Really? So not the
fact at all. I guess the holidays, I guess, are even worse than Super Bowl Sunday. Here's one that I have often heard in recent years. Two-thirds of all avocados sold in the United States are bought within 3 weeks of Super Bowl Sunday. They say that Super Bowl Sunday, the biggest day by far for avocado use in the U.S.
Avocado use for what?
Guacamole.
Are you asking about avocados?
Yes. This is part of the Super Bowl legend of trivia. Yes.
I'll go with true.
Also false. In fact, it's only about half of what is sold for Cinco de Mayo celebrations. So apparently not true.
Wait a minute now. You're going to sit there and tell me that they sell more avocados for Cinco de Mayo than they do prior to the Super Bowl?
8 million pounds for the Super Bowl, 14 million pounds sold annually in the U.S. for Cinco de Mayo celebrations.
You're going to tell me that you want a clarification on the avocado question?
Well,
no one's getting hot wings for Cinco de Mayo. That's the thing.
Yeah. That's true. Everybody's having avocado. All right, two more. Super Bowl Sunday is a good time to visit Disneyland because the park is virtually deserted. True or false?
It is the most popular television event of the year, so sure, I'll say that's true.
Although there are still way more people not watching it than are watching it, and this one is also false. Apparently, a lot of people go to Disneyland just for that reason because they think it's going to be empty, and it's not.
You're just a damn purveyor of lies today, aren't you?
Kidding. Well, why don't you just stop raining on our parade there, dude?
And finally, true or false, before Super Bowl 22, a reporter asked Washington Redskins quarterback Doug Williams, how long have you been a black quarterback? True or false?
Well, you know, I desperately want that to be true.
I'm sorry, no, that is also false.
Oh, Bean.
How did that urban legend start? Because that's too awesome.
Well, I think just like this particular Super Bowl, where everyone is talking about the two black head coaches, you know, race always becomes an issue. And you can only and these people, when you go to these media sessions, they get really nervous. And it's funny to see them stammer around some of these questions and these athletes just stare at them going, what the hell are you trying to ask me? And I could see how that could just squirt out of somebody's
mouth. I mean, I think the conversation had something to do with him being the first black quarterback.
Right.
I think that's what it was.
Does it strike you guys as just, I don't know, it struck me as lame or just like, why would they even bring up anymore that the first black guy to be coach? I thought, well, he's just a coach. Why do we have to refer to him as the first black coach?
The only reason I can think, you know, they had this rule implemented in the NFL about 7 or 8 years ago. It's called the Rooney Rule, where you have to interview minority candidates when there's a coaching vacancy. And they seem to believe that this has led to people actually getting hired that would have had an opportunity to even get into the interview because, you know, they just go with these white guys that have all this experience. And now that two of the guys that they believe were products of this said Rooney Rule are going to be in the Super Bowl together, they want to say, see, we did a good thing. People were saying it was like affirmative action. It was bad. But in fact, these guys are coaching. It'll lead to more minority candidates.
They're wasting their time. They should be asking the head coach of the Bears why his name is Lovey. That's all they should be doing.
Well, because it was supposed to be a girl. You know that? They thought it was going to be a girl, and they had the name, and it was Lovey, and he came out a boy, and they couldn't come up with, you know.
And what? They thought, wow, we're stuck now. We already picked the name.
Yeah, but think about it. You grow up, and you go through elementary school with the name Lovey, and you can probably kick anyone's ass in America.
Yeah, you'd have to be tough.
Yeah.
That's true. You would have to be tough.
Doubt in my mind.
Yeah. We talked yesterday about some of the wagering that's going on for Super Bowl 41, and it's expected that there's going to be more than $100 million of legal betting going on in Las Vegas. And the estimate I saw yesterday, Kevin, after the show was $5 billion in the U.S. of illegal wagering.
Oh, my God.
How about that?
No, it's free enterprise, that's, you know? I mean, how much
money do you have on this particular Super Bowl?
Well, you know my rule, the old rule, when your team is in the Super Bowl, a team that you care about, you just can't bet with a clear conscience, and I can't do it. You know, I'm afraid I'd bet it all on the Bears and take those.
You know what your other rule is?
What's that?
Your other rule used to be if the Bears go to the Super Bowl, you're going to be there.
Oh, I thought you were going to say gamble with no abandon.
There was that.
There is that rule, too.
Layup City. That's the other
Layup
thing.
City Layup City is my other rule, as a matter of fact, yes.
So, Kevin, of course, broadcasting live from Miami. He'll be there today and tomorrow. What kind of party schedule do you have laid out for this weekend, Kevin? And is it going to kill you? Will we even hear from you on Monday?
You might hear from me, but I'm going to be in rare form. There's the Playboy party this weekend. There's the ESPN party this weekend. Money, the Maxim party is the one that I skipped last time we were in Miami.
Right.
And that was the one where I said, you know what? I've been to a lot of these parties. They're kind of boring. You just sit around and people watch. They're not all that much fun. And it was the greatest party in the history of parties, including O.J. Simpson and about 15 other just unbelievable celebrities that were there here in Miami.
Well, we have
Jamie Foxx was there. Was it like Chris Rock? I mean, it was
Colin
like
Farrell.
Everybody. Colin Farrell was there. Yeah. And this is the one where Lightning or somebody was calling your room going, dude, seriously, you got to go to this party. It's in our hotel. You got to go down. You wouldn't do it, right?
No, I had my phone off. I had my cell phone off. So I got all of those messages the next day. I was like, oh, no.
Maxim
I spent my
knows,
life looking for that party.
They know how to throw a party. Remember that? What Kevin and I, we went to that Maxim party in San Diego together. And, and to this day, I contend that it is the greatest party ever thrown. I mean, they had grilled cheese sandwiches. They had chicks on roller skates in Daisy Duke shorts. And I had the opportunity to not only accost Ashton Kutcher, but Cubs great Mark Pryor as well in a drunken rage to scream about why the Bears suck so much.
And remember when we started talking to Donovan McNabb about Ralph?
Yeah.
We ran into Donovan McNabb at that party. That's the kind of thing that happens, you know, when you're having parties at the Super Bowl. And we walked up to him and we said, dude, we just got to tell you something. We have this guy that works on our show. His name is Ralph. He's a huge Eagles fan. He just drives us crazy with the Eagles. He does the chant and he talks about it all the time. He's just driving us out of our minds. And Donovan McNabb said, that's cool. But that ain't cool.
That's right.
One of my favorite quotes
and
from him ever.
The grave mistake that day, Donovan McNabb's O-lineman, who, you know, offensive linemen are about 6'8", 350 pounds. They couldn't get into the hotel. And this is the players' hotel that we happen to be staying at. Uh-huh. So I saw him outside. I recognized him. I went outside, got him, brought him in. And next thing I know, I'm their official mascot for the rest of the night. Yeah. Just so happens the guy that was running the Maxim party that night in San Diego is a friend of ours. So we cut the front of the line, which is about 2,000 deep.
Oh, my God.
And they just thought I was the mayor of the city. And I'm trying to keep up with guys drinking. And they just keep handing me drinks over and over. All right, another one. And it's like a Dixie cup in their hand, and they're throwing down one hard alcohol drink after another. And it was just an absolute
wreck.
They
can drink all night. And here we are, like, skinny guys, and we take, like, two shots, and we're just out of our minds.
It was
and
not
they're drinking and dancing and drinking and dancing and drinking and dancing. I just thought, this is really maybe the best party I've ever been to ever.
Well, that's why it's great that you two are going to be reunited for good times in South Beach this weekend. You know,
What time does your flight land, Money? Because I could probably pick you up at the airport.
Yeah, no, not so much. I'll be watching it on TV with a bunch of listeners on Sunday. Yeah,
you're having listeners over to your house?
No, gotta work. Gotta host a super sports party, super sports big game party.
So you can't even pay attention to the game. You're gonna have to try and be entertaining the crowd.
Remember when you and Petros were singing High School Musical? That was so funny. That's like the Bears are gonna be on the game winning drive, and I'm gonna be listening to stories of like that.
Oh,
I'm sure.
Oh my God, this is like hell for you.
It is. Yeah, it's almost. I wish the Bears would have lost to the New Orleans Saints. My life probably would have been better than
I'll drink extra. I'll drink extra for you. Don't worry about that.
Oh, I'm sure you will, Kevin. I think
there's
I've
no
been to enough
question
Super Bowls
about
to
that.
Know that.
I'm going
to
be
all right.
There.
Super Bowl Sunday, of course, 3 o'clock or a little after 3 o'clock is kickoff. Only a 5-hour pregame show on the TV this year, by the way. But, of course, it is Bears-Colts. Before you go, Sports Guy Money, what is your prediction if you had to make one for the game? And I know you hate to do it because you got your heart invested in this one.
I do.
Make a score.
I know a lot of people think the Colts are going to be able to pull away, but I contend that this Bears offensive line is good enough to push them around. They'll be able to run the ball. It's going to be a lot closer than people anticipate. And it just seems
as
though
the Bears are going to lose.
Well, it seems as though the theme, if you look at all the major sports in this country, the past couple years, the underdog seems to win. You know, the Miami Heat beating the Mavericks after going down 2-0, the Cardinals that no one gave a chance.
Let me give you a history lesson in past Super Bowls, because I will not say that my Bears will win.
No, I think they'll end up running the ball well, and next thing you know, they'll that defense will be able to get after Peyton and his I just can't picture him having sex face and knock him out. Get that Bear victory. I mean, really, Indianapolis. I mean, they hijacked the damn team from Baltimore, for God's sakes. They can't win.
How
There's
many
no
years ago, Mike? At some point, you've got to let that go.
Not a chance.
Poor
What's
people
your score? Of Baltimore. You ever see The Wire? You know what those people have to go through in daily life, and they're taking their damn football team?
Will you stop talking and give us a score?
I'm going to go Bears 24, Colts 14.
All right. Now, Money.
Yes.
If the Bears win, are you going to run onto the field?
Well, By field, if you mean that little game at one of those there sports grills that you throw the football through the holes to get points on an LED screen, then yes, I will jump into that said game.
You are the biggest pussy that I have ever come across in my whole life.
And I have no defense. That's the sad part. I wish I did, but I don't.
All right, you can catch former sports guy Money here at K-Rock. You can catch him over there on Extra 570 before and after all the Lakers games, including today. I guess you got the Lakers zone starting at 2:30 over there.
2:30, yeah, little Indiana Pacer game tonight.
And hey, Money, slap Dave the King of Mexico on your way out. He's a Clipper fan. Make sure and hit him in the head.
I will. Can I pass some advice on to your winner who's going to be going to Amsterdam for that Killers, that
yes.
big grand prize winner?
Thank you for reminding me. We're calling that person next.
If, in fact, you decide to go to the Bulldog and eat space cakes and get completely annihilated, do not go to the Anne Frank house when there are 200 people in line and you take a picture with her statue and grab her boob. People will get very upset with you and try to beat the living crap out of you. It is not a good idea to do that.
The Anne Frank house is not a big, positive, fun place.
No, and especially when people are waiting in line and you are wasted and you grab the boob of her on a statue. That's not good to do.
So don't do that. Don't do that.
It's hardly your fault that Anne Frank is so hot. By the way, she's asking for it.
Wait, if you have to make it the statue. You might as well grab it.
But while you're making a list, make sure that you do go to the Banana Bar because that place is awesome.
Really?
And by awesome, we mean you'll never get the smell out. All right, it's 7:33. Money, thank you so much for coming in.
Go Bears, good time
man.
Out.
Have a great Super Bowl.
El Vacilón Rewind. Todas las tardes a las 5, hora del este, 4 centro. El Sol 95.
That's me.
Is that good or is that bad? I couldn't tell.
That's good. That's good. I'm just working on another radio station here, and, you know, sometimes I have to habla.
Sure, uh-huh. I understand. It's 7:41 on the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 KROQ. Yeah, that's Kevin in South Florida. He's in Miami, not where all the people are getting killed with the tornadoes this morning. I think that's in Central Florida. The weather's good where you are so far, right?
Yeah, it's fantastic, yes.
All right, and this is Bean in Seattle and Lisa in Los Angeles, and we just got the whole place covered here today.
Amazing, isn't it?
We're going to be talking to a psychic coming up after 8 o'clock this morning. How will she do it? She will predict a Super Bowl winner. I don't know why you need to go to a psychic for something like that, but that's on the way. First, though, we got some business we got to take care of. Let's make a phone call for destination number 5 of K-Rock's World Tour 2007. This is a good one, huh? This is Amsterdam, which is in Holland, which is in Europe and some junk.
That would be amazing. I've never
Amsterdam
been there.
Amsterdam is such a great city. Yeah. You could die there if you're there for more than 2 days.
Killer's tickets for the Staples Center show go on sale tomorrow morning at 10. We've been giving them away all this week on K-Rock, and everyone who won was eligible for this phone call. So if your phone is ringing, go ahead and, you know, pick that up and say hi.
Would you guess this happens 90% of the time?
Yeah, and it's funny because we always say, "Hey, where are you going to be at in the 7 o'clock hour on Friday?" Because we may call you if you win.
To an automatic voice message system.
How dare you,
Tina?
That's not who we're trying to find.
That's the name we have.
That's the wrong person. Hey, let's dial that again. Sorry, Tina, you're not our winner.
Tina's listening right now. By the law, we have to give him to her now.
No, I'm pretty sure we do.
This is K-Rock's World Tour 2007. Of course, destination number 6 will be unveiled Monday morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. But we've got to take care of this business right now. Get your passport.
Tina. Hey, if we can't get all of our winner, Tina's going.
Tina, come get some ham.
All right.
Omar!
Your call cannot be completed.
What is wrong with you?
Please check the number.
All right, one more time.
This is so nice to not be the one being yelled at for once.
He took off his headphones. He's serious now. He's dialing like a mofo.
He's going to dial like crazy now.
Oh, my God. The sweat is dripping off his forehead. It's intense.
This place is run like an amateur whorehouse.
Now, that's true.
As is Amsterdam, by the way.
Mm-hmm. That's the good part.
All right. Last chance.
Hello?
Ryan?
Ryan?
Yes.
Can we speak to Tina, please?
She's not there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, Tina. Tina got effed out.
Okay.
Listen, you're Ryan Ferris from Anaheim. That's who we're talking to on the phone
right now?
I am
Ryan Ferris from Anaheim.
Okay, Ryan, did you win Killer's tickets for Staples Center like an hour ago?
Like an hour ago, because I took your guys' advice like 2 hours ago.
He was our last qualifier. This morning, we gave away the qualification. We do a completely random drawing, and Ryan's name comes up, so he wins the tickets at the Staples Center, and then an hour later, he wins a trip to Amsterdam.
Oh, my God!
Yeah.
You just now putting two and two together.
He needs to go bet on something. This is his day.
Oh, my God. I love J-Rock.
I got to tell you, Ryan, I think it's an embarrassment of riches. I think it's too much. You should give this trip up to another listener.
Maybe to Tina.
So. Maybe Tina would like to go.
If it was another listener, they'd want me to have a ticket.
Is that what you think?
Ryan, how much traveling have you done, young man? Have you ever been to Europe?
No, I haven't.
Dude, all right, Amsterdam, you're going to so love. Besides the killer's tickets.
Watch out for me. That's all I got to say.
So you go into a bar in Amsterdam, and they have a menu like a regular restaurant, and it's hash, and it's pot, and it's everything else. And you order it like you do at a restaurant. They call your name. You come up and get it. And then you smoke out for like 3 days and lose all track of time. And then you go down to the red light district.
Yeah, I've done my research.
And the red light district, of course, has the giant windows with the red neon lights around them and hookers in the windows.
Oh, my gosh. And, I can't believe this.
And that's where you get sick for the rest of your life. But anyway, this is going to be a great trip, dude. We're talking about Amsterdam. We're talking about airfare for two, tickets to see the Killers. And you are our winner, Ryan.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Kevin and Bean and Lisa and Ralph and everyone.
You are welcome.
Well, congratulations. Someone from the K-Rock Promotions Department will call you back later and give you all the details. And seriously, dude, congratulations. Thanks for listening. Give our best to Tina, okay?
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
All right, bye now. Oh, come in here.
What are you doing?
Hey, Kevin, come in here.
Kevin, we're on the air. We're doing a radio show. What are you doing?
Oh, the song ended?
Yeah.
Hand check. It's just like when he's here at the station, isn't it? It's 7:56 on the Kevin and Bean Show. I care. Kevin is in Miami. We're not, and it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
Congratulations to Patrick Dempsey and his wife, Jillian. She gave birth to twin boys Thursday here in Los Angeles. People Magazine says the twins are named Darby and Sullivan. Unless they're twin leprechauns, boo!
They're named Hit Me and Beat Me Up.
They also have a five-year-old daughter named Tallulah.
Wow.
Ah, the alcohol bills these kids are going to rack up. I can't imagine how much they're going to drink with these names.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Darby and Sullivan and Tallulah.
I wonder if the Patrick Dempsey Tallulah knows the Bruce Willis and Demi Moore Tallulah. I wonder if they get together. They have some sort of a Tallulah support group.
Dude, they have Tallulah play dates. It's very exciting. Jim Carrey's apparently an a-hole.
Really?
You know, I've
always
had that sense about him.
Yeah.
But now all kinds of stories are coming out about his behavior on the set, and he's just becoming very unpopular in Hollywood to work with. He's getting a bad name in the industry because he's got that weird religion he follows.
What
you see
is that?
With him? It's like,
yeah, I do remember something about it.
Stripping hocus pocus, mumbo jumbo.
Yeah.
And when he's working on the set, he engages in such odd behavior that he really ostracizes the rest of the production crew. Apparently, he's working on this new film he's got coming up called The Number 23, which Lightning and Psycho Mike went to see, apparently. And Lightning's like, it's great! Psycho Mike's like, it's not good. So, I don't know.
So it's not good.
Take from that what you will. But during a scene that he was filming, he decided that he was going to pee while they were filming. Wasn't in the script, but he decided he was just going to whip it out and urinate because he was caught up in an artistic moment. And it cheesed off the director, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Then Dean Parasot, his name is, who was the director of Fun with Dick and Jane that he did with
Tia
Leone, was so put off by working with him that he now, whenever he refers to the film, he calls it Fun with Jane. He has omitted Dick.
Wow.
Nice.
And Brad Silberling, who directed him in Lemony Snicket, that film?
Mm-hmm.
Said that his behavior was so outrageous that producers had to step up and try to talk to Jim Carrey. And he said to them, you should stop right now, because whatever you're about to say may mess up my creativity for the rest of this movie.
Oh, my God.
What a dork.
But Ralph, he still makes funny faces, doesn't he?
Yeah. Like he's Robert De Niro or, you know. Just read the freaking lines and don't bump into the furniture, will you, for God's sakes? Lindsay Lohan apparently is also having some career issues. She's had to pull out of her latest movie that she was scheduled to make with Annette Bening so she could take some more time to work on her rehab skills. She's currently filming a movie while she's in rehab. She was supposed to do another one right afterwards, but she's pulled out of a film called A Woman of No Importance.
starring Annette Bening, because her people say that she wants to, she's decided not to push herself when it comes to her work. Yeah, that's always been her problem. Working too hard. That's what it is. It's not hide. It's not getting loaded. It's not showing up at 2 o'clock in the morning, passed out in the hallway of some hotel. It's her work schedule that's driving her crazy.
Ironically, that movie sounds like the perfect movie for Lindsay Lohan, a woman of no importance. Yes. Who better to play that role?
It really does. Pamela Anderson and Kid Rock, their divorce is finalized. The two are officially single now after being married for just 4 months. They, not going to give each other any money. They both waived any claims for spousal support, so no money will change hands.
That's good to hear for once.
Everyone just walks away. What after 4 months? What
do you
really do? How much money, how much community property could there be in 4 months?
That doesn't seem to stop most people from trying to sue for everything they can get.
Look, she's being kind by not bringing it up, but I'm sure Lisa is furious that Pam isn't walking away with a big check.
That's right.
Of course.
Lisa cannot stand it.
Damn it.
Time for celebrity birthdays.
Woo!
Wow.
Riba, riba, riba.
It's the birthday mariachis.
Happy Billy.
Yeah.
Thank
birthday
you, honey.
Little Miami
flair. Ralph, I don't know about you, but I want to go start working on Kevin's Miami show. It sounds like it's a lot of fun.
Having a lot more fun down there. Farrah Fawcett, the actress from Charlie's Angels, 60 years old today. Christie Brinkley, one-time top supermodel, is 53 years old today. Robert DeLeo, bassist for Stone Temple Pilots, turns 41. And Shakira. Oh, I bet Shakira's going to be in South Beach this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Guaranteed.
Shaking her ass, shaking that little tiny ass of hers. Little 5'2" spinner midget. Put her on and just like a pinwheel. You know what I'm saying? Omar, you hear me? You know what I'm saying? Oh, that's what I'm talking about, brother. You got any drugs? I want some drugs, Omar. You got any drugs?
What do you need?
I don't know. What do you got?
I got it all.
I'm in the mood. Come get some ham.
All this Miami's put me in the mood to just partay.
I'm Ralph Garvin. I'm in Miami for the Super Bowl, which is on Sunday. Bean is where he normally is, holed up on an island someplace where nobody can get to him.
I think it's safe for all concerned, to tell you the truth. It's 8:08 Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's got the movie beat coming up. Also, highlights of yesterday's Tyra Banks show. Now, I did not tune in to see it, but apparently Tyra came out in a swimsuit yesterday, the same swimsuit that she was famously photographed in over the holidays, and all the tabloids, you know, ran the stories about how fat she is, how she gained like 100 pounds and stuff. So apparently Tyra dealt with that on her show yesterday, and Ralph is going to bring in some takes for us.
She dealt with it?
She came out on stage and said, I'm not fat, look, I'm not fat.
Meanwhile, she dropped 20 in a month.
I guess we're going to find out. I guess that's later this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
First, let's talk about psychics, because I'm a big fan of psychics. I love talking to them. We have one on the line named Jill Marie Combine, and she is going to give us some psychic predictions for the Super Bowl this Sunday.
Oh, great.
How about Super Bowl and a bunch of other stuff. Jill Marie, thank you for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
We're always fascinated. I'm going to be honest when I tell you, Joe, we have not had great luck with psychics in the past. We haven't really hit a streak where we've had someone on who has really impressed us with a lot of their predictions. But I am curious what the background is on your psychic ability. Is it something you've always had, or something that you developed over time, or what's the deal?
Well, I was actually born with it, but, you know, you live life and you don't use it as a child. But I had a death experience in 1996.
You actually passed away?
Yes.
Okay.
And, you sound terrific.
I went to the other side, experienced a whole bunch of wild things, weird things, came back, and everything was kind of magnified. I wouldn't even go out of the house for the first 9 months, because if I'd go anywhere, I would cry. I would have all these different feelings, a lot of things I didn't understand.
Those of us that are living in Los Angeles, we call that insanity.
Jill, how did you die in 96?
I was very sick. The doctors said, you know, you test positive for lupus. We think you have leukemia. We don't know. I'm 5'7". I had gotten down to about 98 pounds. And they said, you're dying. You need to prepare your family for your death. And we don't know what's wrong.
And when you finally did, how long were you clinically dead?
I'll tell you, I don't know for sure. I woke up to my son shaking me, screaming on the phone with 911, you know, mom, I had stopped breathing. So I honestly don't know.
Wow. And that was the day when you realized you had a second chance at life. I'm going to spend it making psychic predictions on the Super Bowl.
No.
So,
<Absolutely not. laughs>
So you have, now this is a full-time business, full-time psychic business, and you do readings for people. They get you on the phone. You talk to them about what kind of stuff? Is it love life stuff or job stuff or just anything?
Well, just about anything. I actually enjoy working with the police because, you know, we get to catch the bad guys, especially right. when it comes to children, you know, finding the kids, stuff like that. I do all that at no cost to anyone.
And have there been stories that have gotten you some recognition where you've come into a situation where the police were to, you know, had a cold case or something they couldn't crack and you were able to give them information that helped them break it?
Absolutely. I don't seek that out. I let them come to me unless I feel mm-hmm. a strong need to call them. I also don't take credit for it. I don't feel like it's something that I have to be, you know, out in the open. I let the police take the credit for it. If they want to give it to me, I let them give it to me.
I got you. Okay. Now, when we first, you were pitched to us, we heard it was Super Bowl related. And I'm sure a lot of people would say to you, well, how tough is it to pick the Super Bowl? I mean, anybody can say Bears or Colts. Do you have a system that you use to try to figure out the outcome of a sporting event?
No, I told the publicist, I cannot wait for the Super Bowl to be over.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because things change. And, you know, I tell people, look, I put my money on the Bears, but my heart is with the Colts.
You're just copping out already. You haven't even made a prediction yet in your
contract. Here's the thing. The Colts will win, but are they going to beat the spread? So you got to put your money on the Bears.
Oh, okay. I see. So you believe the Colts will win, but by less than a touchdown. That's your prediction then?
Correct.
Now, let me ask you this. Did you get that information from the other world? Is it a feeling? Is it a dream? Or do you watch SportsCenter every night?
It's a feeling. I watch SportsCenter every night.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, I could have told you that. I could have told you that, you know, it might be difficult for the Colts to cover. You know, I mean, that's not much of a prediction.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're don't need a psychic to tell you that.
Tell us something big. Like, you know, Peyton Manning is going to lose a leg in the first half. Give us something big.
There actually will be an injury in the... I believe it will be towards the end of the second quarter, the beginning of the third quarter.
Okay.
It will be like an ankle, maybe an ankle injury, something from the knee below.
Shocking. You're telling me that professional football players are going to get hurt in a game?
Yes. Now, hold on. Let's try it. Let's try and narrow this down. Is it going to be one of the important players?
Yes, it will be, I believe, a lineman, because he looks a little bit bigger to me.
And which team? Can you see that?
The Bears. It will be the Bears.
The Bears.
One of the Bears. Okay, and will it be an injury significant enough, not that it'll just stop the game for a few minutes, but this player will be taken out?
Yes. Well, not be career-ending, but it will be season-ending.
Will we fly our flags at half-mast? What do you mean season-ending? This is the last game of the season.
No Pro Bowl, Kevin. No Pro Bowl.
I could say that.
Let me ask you one more question about the Super Bowl, and then we'll move on to some other stuff we want to run by you. And if you're just joining us, Jill Marie Combine is on the line, and that's her website, too, jillmariecombine.com. When you see a psychic event in the future, in your mind, Jill, is it something that has already happened? In other words, it has already been decided, nothing between now and then can change it? Is that how it works for you?
Oh, no, not at all. A psychic can only tell you your potential future. They cannot tell you your exact future. It's impossible. You know, we have free will.
So,
well,
what's
the difference between you and me then? I can guess what my future might be.
Absolutely. I just have a little more of an edge.
All right, okay. Kevin, you got some other topics you wanted to run by Jill. Well, get some predictions on paper here.
I do. One of them is we have a big boxing match that's coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, our entertainment reporter, is going to be taking on Dave, the King of Mexico, in a new sport that we have created called drink boxing.
Okay.
And I'd just like to get some kind of a feeling from you as to whether Ralph or Dave, the King of Mexico, will prevail in that fight.
Now, these are both, just to give you more background, these are both amateur fighters. They're just really doing it for the exercise and to raise money for charity. It's going to be on March the 16th, and neither of them are really boxers, but they're going to go up against each other. And we want to know if you're feeling Dave or Ralph.
Ralph.
You're feeling Ralph, okay.
Okay.
Any reason? Do you see something? Do you feel something? What's the reason?
I just think Dave's going to be exhausted.
Well, you know Dave, then.
Oh, my God.
Well, she is a psychic.
She is.
Dave is tired already. He's sleeping right now during this interview.
All right, let me ask you another one. This is one of interest to many of our listeners and to me especially. We have a concert coming up at the end of April called Coachella. And Rage Against the Machine. Have you heard of them, that band?
No.
Okay, well, they broke up about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. And their lead singer went off and started doing salsa music with children or something. But now they're getting back together for a reunion. Rage Against the Machine is going to be playing Coachella. And everybody is curious, is this a one-time event and then they're going to go their separate ways again? Or is this maybe the beginning of an entire second career for the band?
Well, it will not be the beginning of an entire second career, but they will do things together again.
I don't know what that means.
Beyond that one concert.
Beyond that one.
But they are not going to band together and tour and stuff like they did before.
They're not.
Will they make another album? Will they at least do that or no?
No, I don't feel that.
Oh, okay. That's bad news.
Al Gore's been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. Is he going to get it for his goddamn slideshow?
I don't feel that, but
nope. Okay.
You know, I'm not a big Al Gore fan, so.
Yeah, but you're a psychic. It shouldn't matter.
Yeah, well, who cares if you're a fan or not?
You are correct. Thank you.
So I'm going to say no. I don't think he deserves the Nobel Prize. So there.
You're no different than I am. I don't like a guy.
I really don't think he'll get it, but I think that there's a lot of other things there. I think that he's not.
You know, you don't get to vote for the Nobel Prize. You know, it's not up to you, right, Jill? So it doesn't really matter whether you like him or not.
They don't let me in on those things.
All right, I have one more question for you. I'm sorry.
Before you go into that, speaking of politics, since we happen to fall into it here, this is a very significant presidential election coming up in 2008 because it's the first time in, I don't know, 60, 80 years, I don't even know how long it's been, that there hasn't been a president or a vice president seeking the office. It's the most wide open presidential campaign, certainly in our lifetime. And there must be 15 to 20 candidates already who are running or talking about it.
Right.
Any idea as to who will the next president of the United States be, Jill?
I don't think that the next president of the United States has declared yet.
Oh.
Okay, now, and what would that person's name be?
That I don't know. I don't think they've declared yet. Whoever it is, it's not set. It's just not set yet.
So you're saying that everybody who has declared is not going to win at this point?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
So when you say that, you're including people like Barack Obama, who is, we all know, going to run but hasn't officially declared yet. Would somebody like him still be eligible the way you see it?
Yeah, he has not declared yet, so it's possible that it would be him. I don't feel that it's him, but that doesn't mean that, you know.
Okay.
Because you don't like him?
I have no likers, you know, like him.
Okay.
Do you see Hillary Clinton getting the Democratic nomination?
I believe she will, but I do believe that there's going to be more of her history come out in the open that people are not going to, they're not going to be wrong.
Wait a minute. You're telling us that she's going to run for president and something in her private life is going to be made public?
There's going to be some mudslinging.
We have not already heard about.
That's your prediction? Yes. All right, one last question. We're running out of time. I apologize. We have a weatherman on our show named Lester, and his health has been up sometimes, down sometimes. He's in the hospital right now, and he's got us all. We're really sad about this. And we're just hoping that you can give us some kind of a feel on Lester's health. Good? Is it going to improve in the future? Is it going to get worse? What's going to go on?
Is he still in the hospital?
Yes. He's in the hospital now. We're hoping, obviously, for a full recovery and a return to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Can I talk to you guys off air about him?
Oh, no.
Wow.
What?
Lester's going to bite the big one?
No, don't say that, Kevin. Come on.
Lester's going down? Is that what you said?
No, that's not it. That's not what I'm saying.
What are you saying?
Is he already dead? Is this bad news for his family that are listening on their way in?
No.
But you can't tell us on the air what's going to happen to Lester?
Personal things like that I like to talk off air because you never know what's going to come up.
I know, but our listeners have grown to love Lester so much. There's just a personal connection there.
They've been very supportive. They're sending cards and letters. I mean, obviously a lot of people are invested, and we were hoping for some good news today.
Well, he's going to go home, okay?
In a box.
Alive or dead?
Very nice. In a box.
All right.
Jill, we're going to put you on hold. They're going to pick up off the air then. Jill Marie Combine is the name. That's also the website. And people can go on there and they can figure out how to get in touch with you if they want to get a personal reading. Do I have that right? Okay. Well, fantastic. I guess she is already on hold. Fantastic. 8:20 on the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way. I won't say anything because she might be listening.
Okay.
Dear Kevin and Bean, the email from John begins, man, I feel like I never really got the chance to get to know Lester. Before I could, he's going to die. Such a bummer. My best to the Lester family. K-Rock weather, effing hilarious. Ralph, you were in the room when assistant producer Alex picked up to talk to our so-called psychic.
Yes.
What was the conversation that happened with her?
Well, there was a huge cheer that went through the office as she was talking to her because the woman said,
I didn't want to accuse your host or embarrass your host in any way, but I'm getting a real sense that Lester the Weatherman's not a real person. It's like a
character. No way!
Oh, my God.
And Alex screamed at the top of her lungs and said, I love you! You're right! They're lying a-holes!
That's the question
we always bring up for every psychic to see if they're BS or not, because they usually just play along and go, oh, Lester's fine, or he'll be back, or he's sick, or whatever, but they never call BS on it.
She called BS on you, but it was too polite to do it on the air. That's why she wanted to talk off the air about it.
Yeah, you know what she did? She probably said, you know, I don't know. I'm not even getting a feeling either way. And then Alex said, shit, he's fake. He's fake.
That's not what happened at all. I overheard the conversation.
Oh, well, then why didn't she bust us on the air?
Because she's a decent human being, unlike you two.
I'm unaware of those people.
And maybe she cares about Lester, too. Let's not forget that. All right. Well, we may have to check back in with her. It's 8:30.
That's awesome.
Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's here with the Movie Beat.
Movie. Hey, it's Super Bowl weekend. That means crappy movies in the theaters this weekend. And not many of them. Only 5 new movies in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. Everyone figures everyone's going to be home watching the Super Bowl. No one's going to go. One of the films is from 1964, too, if that gives you any idea of how little faith the studios have in this weekend's movies. That 1964 movie, though, if you've never seen it, it's worth a look. Peter O'Toole's getting a lot of press these days because he's nominated for a Best Actor award. He's in his 70s now, and he's nominated for a film called Venus. But the movie Beckett is being re-released into selected theaters this weekend. It's Peter O'Toole and Richard Burton pretty much at the peak of their powers in the 60s. Burton plays King Henry II, and Peter O'Toole plays Thomas A. Beckett. And it's a terrific film if you've never seen it, from 1964, brand new. Mint print is in the studio.
What if you've never seen it and you have no interest to see it? Then what?
Then I'd say you're Kevin. Okay, that's what I'd say. Also opening this weekend, Because I Said So. Oh, the ladies.
What a title.
This looks awful.
Diane Keaton. Wow, Lisa's saying it looks awful.
I love Diane Keaton. I hate that she's in this movie.
She plays an overprotective mother of 3 very different daughters, a stable psychologist, played by Lauren Graham, a sexpot, played by Piper Perabo, who, you know, I love her because she was in Coyote Ugly.
Yep.
And also Mandy Moore. Mandy plays an insecure wallflower who has trouble attracting men. And Diane Keaton is so protective with her 3 daughters that it drives them crazy. But then Diane Keaton finds a man of her own, and the tables turn, and they give her advice, and everyone learns an important lesson at the end. In this movie, apparently they, as always, I mentioned with these chick flicks, they will be selling tampons and Vagisil at the concession stand. So feel free, ladies, to check it out while your men are watching the Super Bowl. Here's a scene from the movie. Diane Keaton stops by before Mandy Moore's big date and gives her some motherly advice.
I was just in the neighborhood and I thought I'd drop by.
Okay, Mom, but please, you have to start calling me. I have a date that's on its way over now.
But Lily, you look so beautiful. Are you sure you want to wear that dress, though?
It was such a hit the first time.
I know, but don't you think you want to mix it up a little bit?
What for? Well, okay, you know, you're right. It looks perfect on you and everything about it. I'm just sort of wondering if maybe you ought to button those buttons.
No, I like it like this. So
Millie, you look like you're asking for it.
Look, you're asking for it. She is asking for it.
Yeah. Yes, she is.
She wants some love making.
Yes, she does.
Please enjoy, won't you? Also opening this weekend, The Messengers. Oh, little kids, you know, nothing creepier than little kids. Then, how about little kids who start to see demons and stuff in your house? Wouldn't that be bad?
And do they talk like this?
Yeah, I think they do. You know the creepiest person on television right now? The little girl with the elephant who talks about the mirrors? For that big screen television?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's the mirrors. When the big men come and play, everything will be different. Ah!
That scares the crap out of me. Anyway, here's a scene from The Messengers. Penelope Ann Miller plays a mother who is trying to understand the visions, the hauntings that her son is witnessing.
What are you pointing at, Ben? What do you see? What does it look like?
Ah!
All right, you're out, Ralph.
Dude, I love that.
I don't love that at all. I don't love little spooky kids, and I don't like demons. And I don't like Penelope Ann Miller. So there. I'm out.
Can I tell you a very scary personal story?
Sure.
When one of my twins was almost she barely learned how to speak yet, and I was putting them to bed, and she looked over in the corner, and the lights were off, and she said, "Who's that?"
awesome.
And I looked over in the corner, I said, there's no one there. And I
scared the hell out of me.
Kevin ran out of the room and left his small daughter in the room with a demon.
You know he did.
You know, he hauled ass, went for the first vodka bottle he could find.
And save left yourselves!
Small child behind with a ghost.
Well, what sorry, a dad. Honey, sounds like a personal problem.
I don't know. Why don't you ask him who they are? I gotta go.
Daddy, where are you?
Just stay in there with the ghosts.
Well, those are your picks this weekend to choose from. So, enjoy the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Or watch the Super Bowl, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
Cut, that's a wrap.
That was The Movie Beat with Ralph Garman on K-Rock.
Yes, I saw her by the glass window. Are you kidding? She's never had an orgasm?
Hey, what? Kevin.
Are you Kevin?
She's never had an orgasm.
Showtime.
It's Kevin to be
and
show
she's coming back on Monday to have sex. All right.
It's 8:41. What's going on in Miami, Kevin? What are you doing?
You remember the super smoking hot girl I told you about in the hallway?
Yes.
Yes.
Never had an orgasm. That's why she was here. And she's coming back on Monday. Who's she having sex with? The main DJ? Okay. All right. Well,
what kind of a show are they doing out there?
So much better than
Miami.
Ours. Wow. We're talking about freaking Lester the weather guy, and they're banging hot chicks on their show.
Alex wants to know what's on our show. He wants to compare.
Well, he wins.
Yeah, all right. Tyra Banks.
You win.
And a psychic.
We don't even want to try. You win.
It's 8:42 Friday morning. Ralph, go easy on my girlfriend here because why all the hate for Tyra? Look,
because not only is she an awful, awful television personality, she's horrible at what she does, but she is a hypocrite and a bad person to boot.
But let me make sure I understand here.
You don't like her boots?
She was a supermodel for many, many years, and she retired from the catwalk
last
year.
She kept her mouth shut with her giant forehead a-gleaming, and just let people take pictures of her, and just that's what she did. That's what she did. That's what she did best.
I find her charming and delightful. But she gained a little bit of weight after she stopped being a professional model. The woman can't gain 20 pounds?
I don't care.
She can do whatever she wants, but she can't get over anyone mentioning it. That's the problem.
Where's the love?
She flips out because we're all saying she got fat, and she got fat. All right? Let's move on.
She's hardly fat. I
she
mean,
is
I think
a
most
horrible,
women,
horrible bitch.
Most women would be delighted to have Tyra Banks' body.
She would have to buy two seats on a plane. That's how fat she is.
I don't think that's true at all.
Yesterday on the Tyra Banks show, she had her rebuttal show where everybody was talking about those photos that were published of her in a one-piece bathing suit in Australia where her ass and thighs looked ginormous. So she comes out on her show wearing the very same bathing suit that she wore in those photographs, talking about the photo, as she calls it. And here's how she started her show yesterday.
It's been in magazines and tabloids and featured on nearly every single celebrity gossip website. The headlines claimed that I've gained 40 pounds since I stood on this very stage in my underwear for our panty party show that we did back in November. You guys, you cannot believe everything you read in the papers and on the internet.
No, but I look in those photos and you have a giant fat ass. I'm not reading about that. I'm looking at the freaking photo. So she's showing pictures of herself back in November on her panty party show where she's standing in her lingerie, okay, going, woo, it's a panty party. And she's saying, they say I've gained 40 pounds since those photos, okay? Well, she's here to prove that that's not the case, and she is going to just push it to the limit.
And I felt like this picture is so outrageous that I wanted to do something equally as outrageous by standing here extremely vulnerable in the same swimsuit next to this photo.
Outrageous.
That's outrageous. She's going to outrageous. She's going to stand on a stage in a bathing suit? That is so unlike anything she's ever done before. That is outrageous. Oh, wait a minute. You spent the past 20 years of your life parading around your underwear, you lying whore.
Come on now. Wait a minute.
It's not like she's a freaking breast cancer survivor and she's going to show her mastectomy scar, okay? She's not proving any point. She's just wearing a bathing suit.
I think
I'm outrageous. Ooh, give her the Pulitzer because she's a journalist.
I think what she's saying is, despite all the heat on her for how fat she is, she still is confident enough with her body that she's willing to wear a swimsuit on national television.
She wore the fat suit, then she was the old person, then she was whatever the hell she's doing. She's hateable on every level. How long is it going to take for you to come to that realization?
She's not only outrageous, Bean, she's extreme.
And it's so sad that I have to go to this extreme, but I'm doing it to prove a point. As of today's taping, this photo was taken 3 weeks ago. And just so you know, the day of my panty party, I weighed 150 pounds. But the holidays rolled around, and today I weigh 160 pounds.
Okay, so in November, she weighed 150 pounds. She says, today I weigh 160 pounds. So she's saying, I only gained 10 pounds. But she never says what she weighed 3 weeks ago when the giant fat photos were taken of her in Australia.
Which
she
was
never addresses that. Which had to be 180.
Yeah.
But she spent the past 3 weeks working her ass off trying to lose as much weight as she could before she stepped on stage in the same bathing suit. We're not idiots, you lying whore.
Fat.
So then she says that maybe it's our eyes. Maybe we're not looking right.
So take a look at that picture and take a look at me now. All I can say is there's something that ain't right about that picture, but I think it's for you to judge.
Oh, now they're altering the picture? Is that what you're saying?
Really? Oh, so the photographer took it and added weight to her.
Oh, apparently. Because look at her now and look at that picture. It's 3 weeks ago. You lost weight since those photos were taken because you're desperate and you're panic-stricken about your appearance.
Yep.
Oh. I don't think I've ever heard another celebrity, because this stuff gets said about celebrities all the time. I've never heard another celebrity say, hey, I'm not fat.
I know, you just move on. You just ignore it and move on.
Now, she spends the first 5 minutes of the show saying, I'm not fat. Look at me. I'm thin, and I'm only gained 10 pounds, and I'm not fat. Then she starts to talk about how hot being fat is, how good it looks.
Really?
After she's denied it for 5 minutes.
And you guys, I'm not saying this is horrible. Like, I look at this picture, and I think it's curvy. I think it's beautiful. I think it is hot. I think it is sexy. I do.
Yeah, that's why I'm screaming, saying, oh, no, that's not me, because I think it looks so good. Because I think it's sexy as hell. So that's why I'm denying up and down that that's a legitimate photo of me.
So fat equals sexy and curvy and womanly, but please don't call me that.
That's right. It's not me, and that's a bad angle, and it's not me, and I look better than that, but it's sexy and hot, okay.
The photographers added a lot of weight to me, but that picture's really hot.
That's it.
It's hot.
Isn't that insane?
It's hot and it's sexy.
Is that not crazy?
It's hot and it's sexy, but it's not me. That's what she says next.
It's just not me, not right now, but the way that I'm eating, one day I will be like this, and that is okay.
Nope.
Who cares?
You
except
do.
For me.
You do, you panic-stricken whore. I will look like that, but it's okay. But don't call me fat and say I look like that. You can't have it both ways, okay? And then it's our fault. It's not hers. It's not the fact she's stuffing herself with Twinkies. It's our fault because our perceptions are all screwed up.
So I'm going to take a closer look at that tabloid photo of me, all right? This is the one everybody has seen everywhere. It's not a good angle. You know, the booty's looking a little thick. You know, I still think it's sexy, but for what America or the world thinks is beautiful, this ain't it, all right?
Oh, what America thinks is beautiful. You Americans with your American point of view. Listen, you made a lot of money over what America thought was beautiful for a long period of time when you were modeling. All right? You cashed in on that misconception that America thinks curvy, thin models are beautiful. You made a lot of cash. You didn't seem to mind America's perspective then, Tyra. Now, all of a sudden, our priorities are all out of whack because you're a fat whore.
You're such a fat ass, and when you walk down the street, people go, God damn it, that's a big fat ass!
What a hypocrite. She cashed in on the thin model look her entire life, strutting around in her underwear and on catwalks, wearing high fashion. But now that she's not a model anymore, she's retired, and she's put on the pounds, our views are all skewed, our priorities are all out of whack, we don't know how to appreciate the female form.
Yeah.
That's unfair.
It is, it's totally unfair.
You can't have it both ways.
Puppy leg.
You can't be an advocate for fat and beautiful and also had made so much cash on being thin and being on the catwalk and forcing women to want to appear like you do back when you were thin. You can't have it both ways.
I am volunteering to take Tyra and punish her, if you get my meaning.
Ugh, Bean.
Bean, seriously. I know it's funny for you to take her side and all, I know that, but after these clips and after... But
you have to see the hypocrisy here, though.
I do. I absolutely do. I agree. I can't disagree with what Ralph is saying. It is not a proud moment to be a Tyra Banks fan. But
we bring in like once a week we bring in proof to the opposite, and you go, still love her.
I do still love her, and I do still think she looks great, by the way. I preferred her Victoria's Secret model weight, I'll tell you that, to the way she looks now, but I do think she's a tall enough girl that she can carry that extra weight.
But if she really didn't care, if she really thought this was sexy and curvy, would this show be necessary?
I totally agree. Ralph, I can't argue your point.
She
your
spent
point
her
is
whole
well
life caring. It's impossible for her not to carry.
Then tell
out.
Us
she
that she's a fat whore, Bean.
I can't say
it.
She's a fat
say
whore.
It.
That's you said you accept the proof. Give us the final answer. She's a fat whore.
She's a fat hypocrite. Say that.
Where's
the
love?
I will say that her remarks are, I agree with Ralph, are hypocritical. I don't think she can have it both ways.
Fat
I totally
and hypocritical.
Well, but you'll be happy to know, since you love her, you'll be happy to know that she had a nice vacation, at least while she was in Australia.
And my personal favorite, America's Next Top Waddle. All right, so when I came back from Australia, you guys, I came back, and I was so happy. I was like, ooh, I had a great vacation. I got a tan.
She got a tan. She said,
wait a second.
There wasn't even laughter in the audience. No one batted an eye. She just kept going. I had a great vacation. I got a tan. What?
I thought that. Wait
tired
a minute.
Of your black.
Is this the. Are we all thinking of the same time?
No, America thinks I'm black.
Oh, your American point of view with my tan not showing up because I already have black skin. What the hell is she talking about?
Good times.
She got a tan. But she's tan, fat, and happy because she's glad. She loves the trailer. She wants to buy it. She's glad that she has extra weight on her.
That hideous picture, Rickner, that's not me. That picture, that's not me. Somebody
call me
really
that.
Doctored that and made it fat. But that's hot.
But it's good to have 30 pounds on me.
I'm happy to be 20 to 30 pounds heavier than the average model. I felt like that was a positive image, especially what's going on now in society. With models and women, like, hating themselves and hating their bodies. So I felt like, you know, this is positive.
She gained the weight for you, people. She sacrificed her hips for you, America.
She's a giver.
She put on 30 pounds for a positive message to you, the fat housewife, watching her show.
And, Ralph, you were right. She was right in the middle of I'm super skinny, supermodel, and everybody should look like this. It was built around her for 15 years.
She made an enormous amount of money perpetuating that illusion that that's what women should aspire to be.
So if we can sum it up in conclusion.
She's
unlike
a fat whore.
Unlike Shakira, Ralph, you're suggesting that Tyra Banks' hips do lie. That's what you're saying.
I would like to sum it up by having Tyra sum it up with her message to those of us who would mock or mention even the way she looks.
So I have something to say to all of you that have something nasty to say about me or other women that are built like me, women that sometimes or all the time look like this, women whose names you know, women whose names you don't, women who've been picked on, women whose husbands put them down, women at work or girls in school. I have one thing to say to you. Kiss my fat ass.
Come on.
That's where she broke down into tears during that speech. Not since the Gettysburg Address has there been as moving and as brief a national.
And you know what's funny about that is awesome. That she's never been any of those people.
No, nope.
She's never been the wife that got picked on. She's never been the fat girl in school.
Nope.
She's never been any of
those
people. No,
but she's speaking for them because now we have one photo of her where her thighs and ass look fat. So now she's
fantastic.
The poster girl for fat women who have been abused their whole lives.
That is excellent work right there. I would like to volunteer to kiss that black ass too. Well done, Ralph.
We'll take a break. I look forward to her passing.
Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Tyra Banks.
you got to move on, dude.
One of our listeners writes in and says, how come you never see fat girls winning America's Top Model then? If Tyra's all concerned about model imaging and being heavy is sexy. All right, let's talk about babies, shall we? Patrick Dempsey and his wife Jillian. Congratulations to two of them. The Grey's Anatomy star and his wife had two twin boys Thursday.
Sorry.
Sorry, my bad.
That?
No, mine. My bad.
Is it possible Kevin is paying even less attention than usual today?
Twin boys,
I didn't think it was.
Were born Thursday here in L.A. People magazine say the twins were named Darby and Sullivan.
Okay.
Look, unless they're turn-of-the-century prize fighters, no one should be named Darby and Sullivan, okay? More baby news. Photos today showed up on the internet of Michael Jackson's children without their elaborate face gear on. They can see their faces, and Janet Charlton, who was one of the gossip columnist over at MSNBC, says, makes you wonder about the identity of the real father of the children, since obviously the kids look nothing like Michael. Some people say there is a source close to the situation that says Michael used a sperm donation from his friend Macaulay Culkin
to impregnate
Debbie Rowe and conceive his children. And says you can see the resemblance if you look in their faces.
Because he did not want to have sex with her.
I am guessing yes.
Are we assuming?
I'm guessing yes. But he wanted to have sex with Macaulay Culkin. I'm sure he extracted the donation himself.
My guess is.
You know, it's funny because these kids look white, right?
Yes, very.
They just look white. I know they got a white mom, so there's going to be a certain amount of, you know, Caucasian blood in them.
They're
way white, and he comes from a way black family. I mean, we are used to thinking of him as being light-skinned because of all the bleaching he's done for many years. But let's remember, he used to be a dark-skinned black man. Where's this coming from if this is really his kid?
Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
They always slap their faces, too, when they're out and go, So you know they're his kids. And lastly, the guy who co-wrote the massive Joan Jett rock and roll anthem hit I Love Rock and Roll was busted last week for having kiddie porn.
Mm.
The New York Daily News says singer-songwriter Alan Merrill admitted to police that he had downloaded from the internet more than 1,000 naked images of underage girls, some as young as 12.
No. What did Daylight NBC's To Catch a Predator's Chris Hansen have to say when he found that computer?
I was going to say, Alan, you wrote the song when he was working with a guy named Jake Hooker. They were both members of the band The Arrows. Alan's next project is with Chris Hansen, oddly enough. It's called Are You Enjoying That Lemonade? It's the song. You had a seat there. Enjoying That Lemonade?
You're free to go, Chris Hansen.
Oh, no, you're free to go. The door's right there.
Are there going to be police out there?
No, I have no idea. I'm just an unfrozen caveman journalist. I can't tell you whether the police are out there or not. I have no control over that. I'm Chris Hansen. That's the name of the song,
You're Free to Go. The door's right there.
Yeah, exactly. And there's just taser sounds in the background. Oh, Chris Hansen. We're having the show Monday, aren't we?
Yep. Yes. Monday morning, right early.
A conversation with Chris.
I know you do.
All right. Today's celebrity birthdays, Farrah Fawcett. You know her as one of Charlie's Angels. Only spent one season on that show, by the way. Here's the Marriott.
Timing.
She's 60 years old today. Christie Brinkley, supermodel who is not nearly as fat as Tyra Banks is right now at 53 years old. Body is better at 53 than Tyra's is at 40, whatever she is. Robert DeLeo, bassist for STP, is 41 years old today. And Shakira is 30 years old today. I like that. Yeah, I like the new birthday music. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is Kevin. I'm in Miami for the Super Bowl. And we've been talking a lot about the Super Bowl, about the Bears, about the Colts. We haven't talked a whole lot about the commercials yet.
And one of the ones that has gotten most of the attention involves Kevin Federline working at a fast food restaurant, which brings us to this latest story. Apparently, his new job offer comes from Taco Bell. There was a letter circulated on the internet this week that was written. It was for real, too. Written by Greg Creed, the president of the Taco Bell Corporation, offering a job to Kevin Federline. So we thought, well, what's the deal with this? Is this insulting to Kevin, or is it starting to look good at this point in his career? So we thought we'd get Mr. Federlisi on the phone with us, back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Kevin.
Yeah, what's up? Good morning. Kiz Evan Bazine.
We haven't talked to you in a while. I don't even understand what you're saying right now, but how have things been going for you? You've been kind of low-key since the Britney split.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I took some time off from my everyday career, you know, but I feel like this Super Bowl commercial is going to be like a big, you know, like a revival. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Now, what about this letter from the president of Taco Bell where he says, quote, come work for us just for 1 hour shift. We'll get you a uniform, a custom name tag, and show you what a great place Taco Bell is to work. We'll even reward customers who visit that restaurant with an order of our new carne asada steak grilled taquitos for free. What do you make of that?
I ain't gonna lie, dog. I took it. I took the job.
Really?
You already accepted it?
I'm in Taco Bell right now on my shift.
I didn't think you were that smart.
Slanging up tacos left and right like I used to slang crack back every night. You know what I'm saying? Up in Fresno. I didn't choose this life, dog.
So you're telling me that 3 months ago you were living in a mansion in Malibu with Britney Spears?
Wait, hey, Bean, shut up real quick. My order. Oh, yeah, hey, dog, what can I get for you?
I want a beef corchita, a Mexican sea salt, chalupa, a side of sour cream.
Uh-huh.
K-Fed.
All right. Hey, dog, you want to add a side of chips and some sour cream for only $2 more today at Taco Bell?
No,
all right, hey, dog. Your total will be at the second window. Keep a gangster. Yeah, what's up, guys? Hey, what's up?
You're trying to talk to us while you're working the drive-through window at Taco Bell? This is insane.
Well, yeah, it's special perks for me, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm a celebrity. You know what I'm saying? They let me do my thing. They understand I got other business ventures on the side. So, you know, I try to handle customers as best I can. But if my agent calls, or if Black the Ripper, or, you know what I'm saying, Dark Abel, one of my producers, Crunchy Black, they call me up. But, you know, I got to take my calls. You know what I'm saying?
How often does your agent call?
Oh, you know, quite frequently. You know what I'm saying?
Like, give me a number.
Once every 10 months.
Years.
Right. Now, K-Fed, this is what I don't understand. I understand that you're in a battle with your ex-wife, Britney Spears, to hold out for the big payout. You're hoping to get, you know, tens of millions of dollars to go away. But what about your music career? I thought that was going to be how you were going to be making your money, is putting out a new record.
Dog. Listen, it's like my art is about me. Okay, you know what I'm saying? My art reflects my life. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a studio gangster. Right. I try to represent my life on wax, you know what I'm saying, when I put it on an album. And so I had to get back to my humble beginnings, where I started in Fresno, to get street, to get grimy, so I knew I could get back in touch with my gangster roots. You know, we've talked about this. My first album, it might have been too artistic, too avant-garde for the commercial palette. So I think I'm going to go back to where I came from, the streets, to the beginning, to grassroots. You know what I'm saying? Salt of the earth, America. So I'm working fast food so I can get a better grasp on just who Kevin Fett. Ah, man.
Are you going
to take? Hold on again. All right. Hey, welcome to Taco Bell, dog. What can I get for you?
Like two breakfast burritos.
Oh, here we go again.
Yeah. Yeah, would you like to make that a combo, sir, or would you just like the burrito?
Yeah, I'll take combo. Good.
Okay, what would you like to drink?
K-Fed, listen, we don't have
shut up, Bean. Damn.
Diet Pepsi, please.
Diet Pepsi. All right, dog. Is that all?
K-Fed.
Can I also have a pizza?
Really?
Hey, Kevin.
A pepperoni pizza? I'm sorry, dog. We don't got that. This is a Taco Bell.
K-Fed, listen.
Would you like to try our new dessert, the flan to go?
Yeah, I'll have that.
All right, that'll be $1.50 extra. Your total will be the second window. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I keep it gangster. Hey, what's up? All right, guys, I'm back.
Has this new experience working fast food, has this already shown up in the new songs that you dropped off?
You best believe it. Like I said, my art, it represents my life. So,
Kevin, before we get to the song, I apologize for butting in, but didn't we talk to you about a week ago and you had an English accent and you were reading haiku?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But look, I understand that people, they might not be able to realize who I am as a person, and so I might have to cater to my audience, to what the people want. And I know what the people want is hat sideways, wife beater, baggy jeans, gangster drinking Hypnotic up in the club. You know what I'm saying? I give the people what they want.
Okay. tell us about the new song that we got to spin, then we'll let you get back to the rest
of
your show.
Like I said, dog, I let my art represent my life, and I've been working at Taco Bell a couple days now, and just like Kevin Federline does with everything, I put a gangster spin on all that I do. So this song is about just like working fast food, working with Mexican food in general, and how I'm dishing it out to the public, kid.
All right, let's hear it.
This is called Sprinkle That Cheese.
Sprinkle that cheese, bitch. Sprinkle that cheese. Yeah, sprinkle that cheese, bitch. Sprinkle that cheese. Get down on your knees, bitch. Sprinkle that cheese. I've been decorating faces like Christmas trees. Federline, I'm coming south of your border. Got a 10-ton burrito made fresh with every order. Chock full of beef, I don't need no rice or beans. Unleash my burrito from my baggy denim jeans.
It's muy grande,
the Rio Macho combo. Me and your fish taco can do the pelvic mambo. You need two hands to handle this beast. It ain't no light snack, it's an all-day feast. I've been working that drive-thru, driving through bitches. I'm all about my cheddar and collecting my riches. Marinate my beef, bitch, marinate my beef. Yeah, marinate my beef. It's my carne asada. Marinate my beef, bitch, marinate my beef. I got the sour cream to fill your whole enchilada. Yo, quiero Taco Bell is what they say to ya, because I sprinkle crack in every chalupa. Working that drive-through in my wife beater. Put 20-inch rims on your next quesadilla, cause I'm gangster, and that's how I roll. I'm the Taco Bell kingpin from here to Fresno, bitch. Spray the sour cream, yeah, spray the sour cream. Gonna spray the sour cream. How about a frosty horchata? Spray the sour cream, gonna spray the sour cream. I got a veiny flesh straw for your poontang colada.
Okay.
All right. Come on.
By the
that's
way,
enough.
Poontang colada is opening up for Yalo Tango tonight.
But I understand.
We can't hear it. She's doing something. There we go.
Sorry, I'm trying to work here in Miami, and I'm not doing very well because I don't speak Espanol.
Yeah.
You're not doing very well here in Los Angeles either, by the way. It's 9:49 on K-Rock. Kevin is live in Miami for the Super Bowl, and we're not. But we do have tickets for you for Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of L.A. Right now, you buy a day, you get 2007 free with no blackout dates when you just bring in a can of Coca-Cola. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with our man, Eddie. Of course, you know, the Super Bowl, the biggest day of the year for wagering, and it's always, it's not just cash. You know what I'm saying? And Eddie has an interesting proposition bet for us. Hi, Ed, you're on the Kevin and Bean Chunky Ride. What'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do, Kevin and Bean? Baby boy.
What'd it do, nephew?
Hey, Eddie.
Hi, just calling to let you guys know I got a bet going on with my girlfriend. If the Colts win, I get to do anal on her, and unfortunately, if the Bears win, she gets to do it on me.
Nice.
Dude.
See, that's a bitter bet, too, because she probably won't even enjoy doing it on you. It's just to burn you.
Pretty much. So, you know what? Watching the Super Bowl, having the guys over, she said, you know what? I don't want the guys over. But I said, you know what? How about we sweeten the pot a little bit?
Oh, God, let the Bears win.
Yeah. Eddie, have either of those events ever taken place before, or is this going to be the first time for each?
No, it'll be my second time on her, but hopefully it's not the first for me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I bet you be all the guys over to watch the game get to do anal on you. That
yes,
should be the best.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
Line up.
Right, yeah. Eddie,
easy, Mike.
Call us back next week and let us know how that goes. All right, that's a good one. That's a that's a bet that doesn't show up on the board in the casinos at Vegas, you know. But it's a good one. Javier, L.A. What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
Well, what it do, nephew?
What it do? Lisa Mary, hello.
Hey,
yeah.
So anyway, last week I'm at the Fox Studios, and guess who I run into? Who's fat behind? I run into.
Tyra Banks?
Tyra Banks.
Yeah.
Yes. Not only is she a chunkums, but she is rude, and she has an entourage behind her. She has people carrying donuts behind her. I'm not even
come
joking.
On. That's
she's
awesome.
That big.
I'm
not
and
even
they have
joking.
To, and they have donut. To duct tape them to her ass.
She's ugly, she's, too, by the way. She's
oh,
all
come
that.
On with this, you guys.
No,
why
everybody
look, I agree that she did not look her best on that show yesterday that we recapped earlier, but she's hardly a chunkums, Javier.
That,
come on.
Last week. And this was just last week, and she was taking up half the aisle.
Oh, good God.
Ben, you have to come further our way than she didn't look her best.
Well, I'm just saying.
She was hateable.
Yeah, whatever she's with hardly, her looks, it's the what's inside that's ugliest.
She's hardly fat and ugly as Javier is.
She's
suggested.
Fat.
That's what
first
I think.
Of all.
Come on.
But she's black and evil on the inside. I don't mean black as in African American. I mean black as in just dark
the
and
devil.
Devilish yeah. and evil.
Philip in Fountain Valley on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. What it do, nephew?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Philip.
Well, what it do, nephew?
I was calling about, you know how Al Gore is nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Rush Limbaugh was also nominated by the Landmark Legal Foundation.
That's funny.
For, yeah. Get this, what they call his nearly two decades of tireless efforts to promote liberty, equality, and of opportunity
wait a
for
minute.
All mankind.
That's right,
wait
my
a minute,
friends.
Really?
Yes. That's right. Yeah. I have been doing nothing but tirelessly promoting equality, freedom, and Oxycontin.
Regardless of race, creed, economic stratum, or national origin.
I am colorblind, my friends. I do not see people of different colors. Except for that black quarterback that's overrated.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Philip, help me out here because I don't know a lot about the nomination process for the Peace Prize, but can anyone nominate anybody? Is it a deal like that? I mean, are there hundreds of people nominated?
Pretty much, yeah, but very few. I mean, you know, people, there's very few that, like, big groups actually send in nominations for. Anybody can nominate anybody, but it's very rare that a big group will nominate somebody like...
But they could laugh, the group could laugh at Rush Limbaugh and say no, right?
No way, right?
Okay.
How dare you say that? I've done nothing but promote tolerance and equality, except for that Michael J. Fox who's faking his illness.
Exactly.
The fake Parkinson's disease. Shameless. Shameless. He is.
Let's do one more, and this is, it's got to be an urban legend. I can't imagine it's really true, but Tony is on the line from Whittier. Tony, what it do, nephew? You're on the Kevin and Bean Chunky Rock.
What it do, nephew? What it do, nephew?
Hey, Tony.
Hey,
Are you boring you, Lisa?
I did Sorry to wake you up.
Are we boring you?
A little bit.
What happened, Tone? What's the deal?
Here's the deal. About a year and a half ago, I'm engaged and I break off with my fiance, right? Mm-hmm. And just last night, you know, I'm kind of feeling bored, so I decided to go to the adult video store. And I'm just, you know, glancing around, you know, looking girls on girls and all that crap.
Yeah, we know going to the adult video store. Yeah, get to the part.
We're familiar with the genres. Right.
Well, I saw her picture on a box.
I bet you did.
I bought the video. I took it home. I'm looking at it, and it's her. It's my ex-fiance doing some guy that, geez, you cannot imagine. So I call all my friends up. Some of them come over, and they look at it, and they're just tripping out the whole damn time because we would never thought that she would be doing that.
Right. All right. Let me stop you right there, Tony. Anyone else calling BS on this? Or does it sound realistic the way Tony has described the story?
I think it's possible. Tony sounds shaky, but I think it's possible, yeah.
And Tony, porn capital of the world.
Tony sounds like the type of guy who would be with a chick in amateur porn.
No, dude, she even said, this is my first time, and the guy just, destroys her face.
What?
Wait a minute. Okay. First of all, let's not go any further in that direction. And second of all, they all say it's my first time. Yeah. That's part of the script.
Tony, did you realize, though, as you were watching your ex-fiance in the porn, that you just weren't getting the job done and that's why she's your ex? Did you understand that she moved on from you to whatever this guy and others had to offer?
Dude, I don't know what happened, man. Because all I remember is that we were supposed to be engaged and all of a sudden, because of her family, they're like, oh, you know, he's not making that much money, so she decided to move on with her life.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Broke it off, and then
she moved on, all right.
Yeah, she moved on to Rodzilla.
She moved on to bigger and better things.
Like bigger and better being the operative words.
Tony, that's great. I'm glad you called with that. I hope it's true. That's a fantastic story. You'll have that one to tell forever.
Yeah, I could email you the guys the video.
Please do.
Yes.
Please,
yeah. Yes, please do.
We'll look at any porn. Thank you for the call on that.
She moved on to the Zamboner. She moved on to.
I want to thank.
That's what she did.
That's where she moved.
All right. That's what she did, all right.
I want to thank psychic Jill Marie Combine for joining us on the show today. One of the most extraordinary experiences we've ever had with a psychic happened on this program earlier today. And if you want to check her out, that's her website too, JillMarieCombine.com. We got a lot of people who called after they heard her astonishing prediction on this show and wanted to check out the website, so that's the address.
All right, Monday morning we have an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We'll be, I'll still be here in Miami. I don't know that I'll be able to speak any better than now, but we'll give you a full recap of the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I'm stalling because I don't have the list, Bean. I can't find my list.
All right, while you're stalling, I want to say, if you're looking for something to do for the big game this Sunday, I will be at the Casino Morongo. Come out. A little band by the name of Buck Cherry, a little band by the name of Stone Sour will be playing. It'll be off the chain. Make sure you make your way out there if you're looking for something to do. It'll be a very good
time. The Casino,
so
I'm sorry. The Casino what?
Morongo.
That's Rick speak, by the way.
Yes, it is.
Who doesn't believe he has to identify himself anymore because he's such a huge radio star.
Big name.
Because he's such a big star. All right. Also, Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, despite all the Super Bowl stuff that we're going to be doing, we're going to have time to squeeze in our old pal Putty. Actor Patrick Warburton will be back on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's got a new show debuting on CBS, I guess, Monday night. We are going to be giving away tickets to the Grammys. Now, you can't buy these tickets, as I understand. These are all just given away to industry insiders. Is that right, Kevin, the voice of the Grammys?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, can't buy
so them. We're going to give you a chance to actually win the tickets. You can be in the audience to see the show with the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Gnarls Barkley and other great performances that are going to be happening. So, we got that for you on Monday morning. And, Ralph, you've been wanting this to happen for a long time. You get the opportunity to talk to your hero, Chris Hansen, from Dateline NBC's To Catch a Predator.
I have a seat. You joined that lemonade?
That's going to be on Monday morning. And if our favorite K-Rock listener, Dewan, is listening, we have not been able to talk to him. We have not been able to find him today. But your girlfriend, Drew Barrymore, is hosting Saturday Night Live this weekend. And we're hoping that we can get you, Dewan, to watch it and review it for us on Monday morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Because I know what a big fan you are.
Plus details on World Tour Destination number 6, Monday morning at 7:15 here on the world-famous K-Rock.
Kevin, goddammit.
Don't bogart the joint, my friend.
Sam Boner.
Pass it over to me.
Play on words. That's what she did right there.
Don't bogart the joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You want to get high?
No.
Roll another one.
I think you do, Mom.
Just like the other one.
Smoke weed.
this one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
I don't know if you guys read this or not, but I heard that the footballs at the Super Bowl this weekend in Miami made out of Tammy Heidi's skin.
Oh,
did you guys hear anything about that? Because
Jesus.
I couldn't believe it either.
Roll,
another one. Oh, yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to end. I don't have another sin.
I shall continue to oppose efforts to legalize marijuana.
For listening, and may Allah bless you all as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
And on that note, I'm going home.
All right, well, I'll leave you to say that, and I'll just thank you for joining me as you're saying that. Being from KROQ, I do appreciate you being on Showbiz Tonight.
Thank you for having us. Pop us out.
Before you go, there's one thing you need to know, and that's I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC, and we're doing a story on adults who meet kids on the internet for sex. So if there's anything else you'd like to tell us, we'd like to hear it. If not, you can walk out the door you came in.
See you guys. Seacrest out. Bye-bye.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.